Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this place in a new way, a
a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty, mighty God, mighty, mighty, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Good God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, mighty Lord. Praise you, mighty, mighty God, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. We thank the Lord for his love, for his mercy that endure forever. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's hour. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. A few more of the warning. Before the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ, we are still warning, because we know the Lord is coming, and we need to be ready. Hallelujah for his coming. We need to keep repenting, my brother and sister. It is what God wants us to be doing in the last day, is repenting, seeking him more than anything, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, humbling ourselves before him, knowing and understanding the time and the hour that we are in, my brother and sister, last of the last. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I go into the revelation of the Lord this week, I want to go into the word. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The word is always the light that enlighten everything. Hallelujah. We're still, hallelujah, for what the Lord is showing me in Babylon the Great. Hallelujah. Babylon the Great, mother of whore and of the earth, of sinnery, according to the complete Jewish Bible. A sinnery. My lost, my brother and sister. Amen. Praise you, God. And according to the prophets, like the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 59, for I was stirred up and bring against Babel an alliance of great nation from the country to the north. They will array themselves against her, for there she will be captured. Their arrows are alike those of death, dealing with warrior. None will return in vain. So God is saying to the prophet here that the day will come when he's going to take vengeance against the great whore, my brother and sister. Why is this great whore so dangerous, my brother and sister? The Bible says she is a woman in Revelation 17. There came an angel with a seven ball and said unto me, says John the apostle, come and I will show you the judgment of the great whore, the city, by many waters. The king of the earth went whoring with her, and the people living on the earth have become drunk from the wine of her whoring. He carried me in the spirit to the desert, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast filled with blasphemous name and having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet glitter with gold, precious stone and pearl. In her hand was a gold cup filled with with the obscene and filthy things produced by her whoring. In her forehead was a written name, hallelujah, with a hidden meaning, Babel, Babylon, Babel the Great, the mother of whore and of the earth of sinity. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of God's people. That is from the blood of people who testify about Yeshua. And on seeing her, I was altogether astounded, said John. Then the angel said to me, why are you astounded, is the question. I will tell you the hidden meaning of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that was carrying her. And the beast you saw now is not, and it will come up from the abyss and on its way to destruction. Hallelujah. In other words, she comes down from the abyss. Bible says a bottomless pit. Okay? Significant of demon. And people living on the earth whose name had not been written in the book of life since the founding of the world will be astounded to see the beast. It's about the beast that once was and now is not. But it is to appear, said the hallelujah. My brother and sister, this Bible translation, the complete Jewish Bible said that she will appear. Okay? So in the timing that God will allow this to be, John said in this complete Revelation Bible that she would appear, okay, is something that is to be seen. This verse 9 calls for a mind and with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills in which the woman is sitting. Also, they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is living now, and the other is yet to come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while, according to Daniel 11 also. The beast which once was and now it is not, it is the eighth king, and it comes from the seven, and on its way to destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who had not yet begun to rule, but they receive power as king for 1 hour. That means a short time. Very short time. Along with the beast, they have one mind, and they had over their power and authority to the beast. It's all about the beast in these last days. And they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are called, are chosen and faithful, will overcome along with him. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, these events are going to unfold in the last days. And this is the unfolding of the things that we're seeing. Praise the Lord. A couple of mornings ago, about three now, hallelujah, the Lord, in the midnight hour of my prayer with the Lord, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, am I wrong about this message of the beast, about people turning into beasts? Shalom, Sister Tani. And all these things that I've been saying in the Lord's hour, Lord, that are coming to pass. And I'm sure that I was not asking the Lord truly by faith, but the Lord would hear my concern, would understand what I'm going through, the persecution that is coming against myself for keeping up with his message and the revelation the Lord has given me. But hallelujah, we must be obedient no matter what. My brother and sister, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, God's people, the prophet, were obedient unto death, the Bible said. They die for their belief, my brother and sister. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today forever. We must walk the same, hallelujah, way that God has prepared for all of us. Faithful unto death. And thank you, Lord. The Lord... Praise you, Jesus, because I was saying, hallelujah, Lord, if I'm wrong on this, if I'm misleading people, please let me know, Lord. I will stop. I will not continue. I will repent, Lord. I'm willing to repent. The Lord was not happy to hear those words from me. My brother and sister, he was not happy. He was just not happy. And when he took me in the spirit, he gave me a sure revelation of my Father. Very angry, very, very angry. He was walking to, he was walking back and forward. And I could hear him saying, what? Angry at humanity for the decision they're making, especially those that are taking the vaccine. He's very angry, my brother and sister. And the Lord said, you've spoken my word, not your word, he says. It is my word I'm giving you to speak. Okay? They're not yours. They're mine, he says. Okay? And so he began to clarify to me. Then to make things even more powerful, I would say, because, you know, I said, how many times I said on the Lord Tower, I think I've seen enough already. But he took me again in the first days after the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. The bride has disappeared. And there was a group of brothers and sisters who had been vaccinated who stayed behind, my brother and sister. These are brothers and sisters vaccinated that have listened to the Lord's, that have listened to the Lord's message through my mouth on this program, but decided to take the vaccine. And the Lord showed me there are people listening to you who have not told you they are vaccinated. They have taken the vaccine quietly. They have taken the vaccine without telling you, without saying anything. But I've seen what they've done, the Lord showed me. And I was stunned by this revelation. And so I was there with this group of brothers and sisters, and they were saying, Brother Elwi, like, what are you doing here? The rapture already happened. How come you're here? There was not enough time for me to explain to them, my brother and sister. But I began to speak to them, and I said, listen, what the Lord had me say here on the Lord's Tower for years now, okay, Shalom, Brother Miguel, it's going to happen now, at this very moment. And it's one of the listeners, out of the multitude that was there, I would say over 60, over a lot more people. It was a multitude of people. And one of them began to say, oh, hold on. You preachers always preaching fear to people. Okay? Yes, you talk about these things, but Now you want to come and preach fear to us and tell us that, you know, these things that you were talking about, and now you're going to come here and begin to preach fear unto us. When are you going to stop with this nonsense and all that? He said, I said, listen, whether you believe it or not, okay, whether you believe it or not, okay, this is beginning now, any minute now, now. Okay? And while the brothers who were there next to me were saying, Brother Elvi, the brother that had taken the Pfizer vaccine began to turn into a beast. I saw one of the brothers, the Lord wanted me, because the Lord was hammering his word into me. Okay? You have spoken my word. My word comes to pass. I have said, I am not a man. Okay? Oh, my Lord. And right at the moment, I was speaking to me. I saw when one of them speaking, hand stretched out. And he, one of them had taken the Moderna vaccine. And I saw how one of his hands began to stretch. And I saw how the nail of his hand began to grow into a werewolf. His hand began to turn into a werewolf. The hair, the long hair of a werewolf began to pull out of his skin. The hand began to stretch, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he was like, his mouth began to grow. His head began to grow long. His teeth began to pull forward, my brother and sister. At that very moment, I said, I'm not waiting anymore. And there was a young man next to me. I grabbed him by the hand. And I began to run with him. Run. I said, run. It's happening now. Run. 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 Let's climb the highest place. Because, and I saw, as I began to run, I'm looking back, the brothers, I was saying, Brother Elvi, he was turning, because he had taken the Pfeiffer, he was turning into this ugly beast. We were like 30 seconds running, where most of them had turned into werewolf or beast. The werewolf began to chase us, where we could not escape them because they were faster than us. But the brother who had changed in, through the Pfeiffer bison into beast, my brother and sister, I mean, they were still speaking and thinking. And you know why they did? Oh, we're not going to let these werewolves kill Brother Elvie. I heard him when he said it loud. They began to change the werewolves that were coming our way. And they said, we're not going to let these werewolves kill Brother Elvie. And I saw when this beast came running, these beasts came running to protect us, okay, running near us because they were ugly beasts, yeah, big beasts through the Pfeiffer bison. But they don't lose their mind. They're thinking, my brother and sister. This is the first time that I'm face-to-face so close to a large 8 foot or more beast. Okay, looking like a bear. You seen the photo of this beast that we described here, my brother, that comes out in the movie X-Men. He was large. He was a lot bigger than that beast in that movie. Okay, some were at the same size, around 8 feet. Some was a little bit more. They ran. They encountered the werewolf quickly. I saw when he grabbed this werewolf by the neck, you're not eating, Brother Elvie. You're not killing, Brother Elvie. And grabbed him with his big hand over this werewolf neck. And the werewolf hand, or nail, because now Claude, it's a total beast, was, my brother and sister, was trying to get to me. But he was holding a very strong beast. They were holding it together. They joined together to stop these werewolves from killing us because we barely had any time to climb the wall, climb the fence, climb the tree, try to get to the highest place we could. There was not enough time for that. And I don't think the Lord will allow the beast to kill us. But yet again, I'm questioning what the Lord is showing me and giving me. So the Lord once more again allow me to experience these things right there in person, 3D, as they say, reality. It cannot get more real than that. I had to run for my life. I'm trying to protect this child that was next to me. This young man, to me, looked like he was about 12, 13. And it looks like he had not been vaccinated, my brother and sister. But I don't know what his life been about. I just know that I grabbed him by the hand and I said, I'm not leaving this child to be teared apart by these werewolves. And I began to run with him, my brother and sister, and run and to try to protect them. But I thank God for these other beast brothers, okay, for these other brothers that with the Pfeiffer bison turned into beasts because they still retain all their knowledge because they were protecting them until... I was thinking, should I really thank them for taking the Pfeiffer and turning into these ugly beasts and protect us? I felt like I should have given them thanks for it, but then I had this feeling like I was talking to someone and said, no, Brother Elvie, they should have never taken the bison. That's the message of God. I know how you feel. They protected you. They defended you, but... You know, if you say that on the low tower, people may misunderstand what you're saying, and then they'll take the fight for no. Okay, it's wrong. What they did is wrong. What the Lord is showing you is wrong. That same day, the Lord giving me that revelation, I got two calls on the phone confirming that another sister, she was in a train, about to take a train. And in her dreams, all of a sudden in her dreams, people began to change into, this is like in Europe, people began to change into beasts. The same day the Lord gives me this revelation, give it to me in the morning, and I'm still meditating about the whole dream. I'm still like in shock. It was so real. Oh, everything I experienced was so real. I'm talking to these beasts, 8, 9 feet tall. Ugly, huge, strong, that had taken the Pfeiffer, but still retained their understanding. And yet again, I said, that's another confirmation what the Pfizer vaccine does and what Moderna does. The Moderna changed them into werewolf, ugly werewolf. They lose their mind like King Nebuchadnezzar, no understanding. They think like beasts, and they just want to eat me. I'm going to say this because I saw, I believe it was the father of this child that I was running with, my brother and sister, when he began to change into a werewolf, and he was one of the werewolves that were chasing us, he was going to eat his own son. The heart and pain, the heartaches and pain that these people that are taking the Moderna, it might even be the Johnson & Johnson or the AstraZeneca, the harder thing for these people will be to eat their own children. Carnival. Thank you, brother. Eat their own wife or own husband or own father. It's unthinkable. You love your daughter so much, your son so much. You take this by seeing your children are your meal. And you have no control of it. When you change into a werewolf, you're going to eat your own children. And when you turn back to human, okay, you're going to be looking for them. Where are they? Where? You ate them. You ate them. You're going to drop on the floor crying. Crying. I ate my own child, you're going to say. How can I do this? How did I do this? How can, and you'll try to stop yourself. You won't be able to. My brother insisted. The pain and headache is much more than what we talked about here on the Lord's Hour. I cannot begin to describe to you, maybe just the beginning, of the headaches and pain and suffering that these people for 7 years will be under, my brother and sister. It is terrible. It is unthinkable. Jesus describes it in Matthew 24 like it never was before, like it'll never be again. See, God said through his prophet in Jeremiah 51:54, an agonized cry is heard from Babel, great destruction, and the land of Kisim. My brother and sister, the modern land today. Hallelujah. It is described of gray agonized cry. Shalom, Andrew. In great destruction, these beasts are going to eat their own children, their own family. And they're not going to be able to stop themselves, my brother and sister. The pain. Ezekiel 26:7, for where is what Adonai Elohim say, I will bring upon the soul from the north, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, king, Horsha, with Shariah, Havri, a great powerful army. In the physical, because this is what God is, this is a prophecy, how powerful they're going to be, my brothers and sisters. These werewolves, these beasts will be powerful. King Nebuchadnezzar's army had a type, my brother and sister, of evil on them. They were described the same. My brother and sister, it's terrible. Daniel 4:27, for the king said, Babel the Great will build as a royal residence by powers, by my power and force to enhance the glory of the majesty. 2 Chronicles 36:12, and all the article of the house of God, great, small supply, the house of thy supply of the king, leading men, and all they brought to Babel. They, my brother and sister, the plan behind the system of Babylon, the Babylonian system, the system of the Antichrist, the system of the beast, is to steal everything other people had. I learned today that Ukraine economy produces $1.5 billion a year. and there are nations interested in the money they have, my brother and sister, that this happening in Ukraine is not about anything but money and power, my brother and sister. They will tell you this, all that. No, my brother and sister. It is the billions of dollars that Ukraine produces every year that they are about, that they're after of. That's what the Bible said, that the system of Babylon it is. My brother and sister, all the article of the house of God, great and small, the supply of the house of the nine, the supply of the king, his leading men, and all these we brought to Babel. My brother and sister. Revelation 14:8, another angel, second one, followed him, saying, she has fallen. She has fallen, Babel the great. She made all the nations drink the wine of God's fury caused by her whoring. The reason why she is a whore spiritually is because she's sleeping with all the king of the earth. In other words, she's looking for gain. The ministry of the Antichrist is about getting what others have. This is the whoring the Bible is talking about. What these nations want NATO, what the West wants from Ukraine, is what Ukraine produces. It's what Ukraine has. Nothing else. Not about the people of Ukraine. The people is just it's something they're using to convince the nations. Not about that. It's never been about that. It's always... You hear the saying, follow the money. Follow the money. That's what that is. My brother and sister, they produce so many billions that they want it. They want it. Revelation 16:19, the great city was split in three parts. The city of the nation fell. God remember Babel the great, made her drink the wine from the cup of her raging fury. Why is God so angry, my brother and sister, of them? Because they shed blood, innocent blood. They don't care who suffer. They don't care who go hungry. In order for them to get what they want, the money, the gold, the silver, the diamond. They're after the black diamond. They're after the rubies, the different color rubies, the gold, the silver. That's the only things they care for. And they're willing to wipe out an entire generation. 40 million people in Ukraine. They're willing to wipe them out to get what they have. Nothing else. Nothing else. My brother and sister. Okay? It is terrible. Revelation 75:4. On her forehead was written a name hidden, meaning Babel the great, the mother whore of the earth, obscenity. Everything evil, my brother and sister, that is behind the Babylonian kingdom. The Antichrist last day kingdom where the king of the earth, the president of the earth, are in bed with the Antichrist, are one in evil, one whoring, my brother and sister, to get money and shed blood no matter who, no matter what, doesn't matter how many people. They don't care. They don't care, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. This is why the only kingdom, the only God we should trust in Jesus Christ. We should all trust the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our understanding. Forget about this earth, because this earth is promised what we're destroying. God will renew the earth again. Why? There's nothing to be saved on this earth, but only the people now, if they will listen and repent. The rest will be destroyed through fire. Well, the fire of God will melt the element of this earth, the Apostle Peter saying. The Bible says it right from the beginning. Nothing can stand in the day of his coming. The Bible says nothing will stand. Everything will be destroyed. My brother and sister, he will destroy the Antichrist with the glory of his coming. The Apostle Paul says there's no way they can withstand the Lord when he comes. My brother and sister, the Lord spoke to me so strong. He rebuked me so hard. He helped me remember that he's the one that called me. That it's him that chose me and elected me. That I should be only under his fear and forget about the rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Even when we hear, tell people to take this pine needle tea that will help them, help their DNA. I had a sister email me this week after she heard we've been talking about the pine needle tea. She asked the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, is this pine needle, brother, always talking about in the Lord Tower, does this really work, Lord? And the Lord said, yes, my daughter. She emailed me because she wanted me to say it to you here on the Lord Tower. Yes, it does, my daughter. It helps. It does over restore what the damage to my sin does. The Lord says to her. She was so happy. She just wanted to contact me and let me know. My brother and sister. Because before I mentioned it, when I heard about it, I asked the Lord also. And he confirmed me the same. So I said, okay. This is because God always, this always, like one of the doctors that talks about the pine needle tea, she says that they knew when they made the vaccine that they will have this other way to destroy the work of the vaccine. So that's why they took it, because then they could take the tea, my brother and sister. But God has always provided us with natural herb that would help us, my brother and sister. He has given us on the earth. This everything is on the earth right now. If we only knew that we can go ahead and find these things and take them, and it will help them, the pine needle tea. Now, she asked the Lord about the pine needle tea. And she asked the Lord if, you know, because we've been talking about go to Amazon, go to eBay, go online, research this. And she asked the Lord, Lord, what about those pine needle tree that some people have on their property? And the Lord said, yes, my daughter, those that some people have on their property, or a lot of people have on their property, works the same. It works. Tell them they can take that. They can take that or give it to the family. So God has given us a way out, my brother and sister. Always by faith. Yes, always by faith. Prayer. But remember that the reason we take the people need to take these things, because when they took the vaccine, it was disobedient. Disobedient. My brother and sister. So repenting is also important. And all this. Repenting is important. Hallelujah. So, yes, the one that Brother Michael and I was talking about. Also, it is the same tea. I looked it up. I confirmed it. And the Bath Dam tea, which it's, I'm also going to put it online. You can look it up. It's a green box tea. And it is on Amazon, yes. My brother and sister, it's really awesome. It works. Powerful. My brother and sister, they can go ahead and try this tea. Thank you, Lord. I was sharing with a brother that I was sneezing. I don't know. I was getting a cold or something. And I made a cup of the tea, and I put that pine needle tea, and I took it. And in a few minutes, I felt great. I was like, wow, this thing is so powerful. It empowers your immune system so awesome. So it works. I try it. Okay. But yes, people do have those pine needle tree on their property. You just got to be careful, because Brother Ben was telling me some of them are poison. Yes. So thank you for reminding me of that, because that I forgot about that. Okay. Some of these tea are poisonous. So you want to research it. Okay. Amen, Brother Lane. This is why it's better to purchase the one that they're selling online, because a lot of study have gone into and testing of them. Why pine needle? So just be careful with the one you have in your property, because some are safe, some are poisonous. And so you need to be careful with them, my brother and sister. So while we were talking, the Lord, when I was there with the brothers and sisters, he was still talking to me. See that my word I've spoken through you is true. And it will come to pass exactly as I have said it, he says to me. And I'm seeing them turning into beasts right there. My brother and sister, seeing this young man next to me, I was like, I was thinking more about him. I grabbed him by the hand to run with him. A lot of our youth are focused on video games, and a lot of them are evil and wicked, my brother and sister. And we need to direct them to the word, to listen, even to program like this. My brother and sister, they're being contaminated. The souls are being contaminated with video games. And that's not what God wants for them. And a lot of them will stay behind. And even though they're not vaccinated, they'll see their parents and family turning into beasts. And they'll be running for their life because their own family will eat them. These werewolves, since they're getting bigger, their stomach is like three times bigger, they now eat like 75 pounds of meat. So if one of these young men are 150 pounds or 125 pounds, and these big can eat 75 pounds or to 100, it's an easy meal for them. Because I saw two beasts eating one person, two of them, tearing one person apart and eating them. So that gave me an understanding that, and I practically saw them finish up the body quickly. One was turned through the fire, the other was turned through the mother, and they were tearing this body apart. And they tear this person apart quickly. It was a skinny, tall man, about over 6 feet tall. The werewolf got him and tear his shoulder as he was crying, and the other beast came and grabbed his leg and tear his leg apart. And the beast was eating him, my brother and sister. They were eating this person. Easy. It was an easy meal. And so in this time, I saw them doing the same, chasing people, grabbing people however they could. And people were fighting, trying to fight them off. But no one had any weapons. I was saying that you can kill a werewolf with a stick through the heart. And someone said, "Nah, brother, not the werewolf, the vampire you kill with a stick to the heart." Well, I'll be honest with you. I was able to kill one. I grabbed a broomstick, and he jumped on me, and right, I pushed the stick through his heart and killed him, put him down. I put him down. I can't verify that he was dead, but I was able to put him down, to putting a stick to the heart. And one of the brothers asked the Lord, and the Lord did confirm, yes, you could. You can put him down with a stick to the heart. Because I'm going to say, no, you don't put a werewolf through a stick to the heart. You need a silver bullet for werewolf and a stick to the heart for the vampire. I said, this may sound funny to me, but it's the way things went about. And I was trying to be safe, protect myself from them, fight them off because there was too many of them in that time in the supermarket. I noticed I could not run anywhere. I ran in the supermarket trying to get into a closet. Supermarket had those, some of the supermarket like school, they had those metal doors. And in my head, I'm thinking, if I can run into the supermarket, find one of the closet where they keep the cleaning stuff, then I'll lock the door and he'll keep pounding the door how much as he wants. It's a steel door. I don't think he'll break it that easy. My thinking as I was running. Because you only got but a few seconds running from them to make your decision where you're going to run to. Another things I noticed, I was running to climb a tree, the highest pine tree that I could. There were several pine trees next to me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to run to one of the pine trees and climb it. But I noticed, as I looked quickly, one of the werewolves was jumping and was chasing someone who was climbing the pine tree, and as this person was going quickly up the pine tree as fast as it could, the werewolf was jumping from one branch to another, trying to get this person. I said, I'm not going to be safe there either, because if they can climb somewhat, like lions are not made to climb, but they can climb sometimes. And practically what I saw them doing, I saw them, even with the long and strong nail, grabbing onto the tree and pulling themselves off with great strength and fear. And they were truly, you know, doing it. They were doing it. They were going up the tree. So I said, uh-oh, that's not going to work for me to be saved. I'm not going to be saved on the tree. They can get me there. Then I saw a metal fence, one of those that they use in those like baseball park where I was, right in front of me as I was running really fast. And I was telling the young man, let's run. Run as fast as you can, because he was so scared. Please keep up with me so we can climb the high fence where they will play baseball and see if... And I noticed that climbing fences now, there are things. In case some of those that are listening that will stay behind and go through it, remember that climbing fence is not a werewolf thing. In some part, I can see them climbing a 10-foot fence, a 12-foot fence easy, because it's practically they can jump over it. But if the fence is 18, 20 feet tall, you'll be safe up there. They won't be able to get to you quickly. So take some of the tips, because they're going to help a lot of people who are staying behind, my brother and sister. Okay? In this time we're living, I'm telling you, I'm honest, we're better off going with the Lord now. We're better off going with the Lord now. Because things are going to unfold. They're going to go in such a way that humanity is not going to like it. My brother and sister, the way people have been going with the life, God is not pleased. My brother and sister, imagine that. Revelation 18, he cried out with a strong voice, she have fallen. She have become the home for demon prison, for every unclean spirit prison, for every unclean hated bird. The angel cried out with a strong voice. He speaks so loud against her. And I believe it's because they see the judgment of her coming to pass right away. They just want to see this Babylonian evil, wicked system, whoring system, be destroyed. The system of the Antichrist, they just want to see it be destroyed. And a lot of us feel the same. The sooner it's destroyed, the better it is for humanity. But God is so angry at humanity that humanity is going to have to go through this evil, worst time ever time that is quickly approaching, my brother and sister. It's just going to be so wicked, evil down here for 7 years. And during that time, my brother and sister, during that time, whoever is here will have to endure the worst. That's why the Lord has told us to repent, turn away from our wicked way to him and ask him for help. Jesus is the door of the sheep where we can come through him. But it's through repenting, because he's holy. Be thou holy, because I am holy, he says. My brother and sister. And the only things that can get us there through repenting is the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all unrighteousness, him forgiving our sins. And once the blood cleanses us, there's no sin anymore. And that's what holy is called, separated unto him. And then we can come through that door, my brother and sister. He's the door of the sheep. And anyone will come, it has to be through that door, holy door. And I pass through that door, believe me. He will not let anyone through that door unless it's a person who's repenting, whose blood is cleansing him, whose sin has been forgiven. My brother and sister, because he is the door. He knows who's truly repenting. He knows who's truly seeking him. As he said to me, look, even many of the people that you're talking to, hidden, look, they have taken the by sin. They're listening to you, to my warning through the program. And look, they had taken the by sin. And now I'm like, wow. I was shocked. I was like, he's showing me. Look. Look. But I see them. I see them, he says. I see them very well. This is going to be a difficult time for all of us. Yes, the bride is going home in the rapture, the departure of God. But he's never going to break. Even with so many that have denied and come against the rapture, departure. It is a promise of God. It is a promise that God will fulfill no matter what, my brother and sister. And a lot of time we need to be reminded of his promise in order to stay focused. And the complete Jewish Bible, Matthew 25, says that the kingdom of heaven at that time will be likened to 10 brides who took their lamp and went out to meet the groom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were sensible. The foolish, hallelujah, one took the lamp with no oil, where the other flask of oil with their lamp. Now the bridegroom was late, so they all went to sleep. And this is practically the time we're in today. A lot of people are wondering when is the rapture. And there's a lot of sleeping. We need to be careful with sleeping too much. Yes, we say that when we're tired, we want to sleep. Some tiredness of sleep are not of God, are attacks of the enemy. Attacks of the enemy. My brother and sister, sometimes when you feel that you, in a regular day, you're doing things in your house, your home, and all of a sudden you feel like going to sleep, begin to pray. If you need some rest, you can always get some rest. But a lot of time you don't need so much rest. The Lord talked to me about this and said, you sleep too much, I remember. So now I have to check. My brother and sister, I was thinking the opposite. He said, you sleep too much. My brother and sister. And then I was thinking, is that we need to be careful with sleeping. Because there's time when the enemy arises that we need to be in prayer and not sleeping. Those are the moments he wants us praying. Praying. So when you feel sleepy, pray and rebuke the enemy. If it's the enemy, the sleep goes away quickly. If you need rest, you will rest. It's okay when you need rest to rest with God. He's not angry at people resting. People think that God don't want them to rest. That's not what he's saying. He's not telling us not to rest. He's telling us to be careful with sleeping too much. Sleeping when you need to be praying and rebuking the enemy. It's not good because the enemy can attack you while you're sleeping. If you don't need to be sleeping, if you don't need to rest, if your body don't need to rest, your body knows when you need to rest. The clock of the body is perfect, made by God. When your body needs rest, your body will let you know when you need rest, and your rest fine. But when it's an attack of the enemy, it's different. While you're pushing your body to rest, the enemy will attack you because that's not the moment for you to rest. You're trying to push the body to a rest that where you're not supposed to be resting. So this is what God wants us to be careful, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. The foolish one did not take oil. That is a type of sleep. When you're supposed to do something and you don't do it, it's sinful, the Bible says. Knowing to do good and don't do it, my brother and sister. Where the other took flock of oil with their lamb. Now the bridegroom was late, so they all went to sleep. You see, there's nothing wrong with you sleeping. But here's the problem here. If the foolish bride needed oil, they needed to spend time in the presence of God. In other words, instead of spending time in the presence of God, they put themselves to sleep. Now, this can qualify as taking pill to sleep at this moment. Because this was not the right time for them to sleep. They must have taken pills, an example. Because a lot of people do. Okay? A lot of people do. And they forced themselves to go into sleep when they should have been praying. In other words, so the one that had enough oil that went to sleep, it was like a natural sleep. Their body were tired. They went to sleep. But notice that they had enough prayer, enough oil, prayer life, and they had the extra prayer life, the extra hour they took into prayer in the presence of God. So it was fine for them to sleep at that very moment, because they're sleeping in the presence of the Lord. The other one were not sleeping in the presence of the Lord because they should have been praying. See, there's a difference. One pray, the other one did not. Or one pray enough, and the other one did not pray enough. So at this very moment, my brother and sister, in the middle of the night when the cry ran out, the bridegroom is coming. Go to meet him. And the girl all woke up and prepared the lamp for the lighting. My brother and sister, the foolish one said to the sensible one, give us some of your oil. Now comes the realization when you say, wow, I should have been praying. I should have been preparing. I should have been spending more time in prayer. That's what coming to them at this very moment. Now they're thinking that they should have been praying. They should have been spending more time in the presence of the Lord, filling their life with oil. It's the only way you fill your life with oil from Jesus and prayer with him. And if you need to pray more, if you're being convicted in your spirit of more prayer, do it. Don't put it off. My brother and sister, because every time he has something to say to us, it's because we need it. We need it. And you may say, I need more rest. And God said, no, you need more prayer. Because God gives you rest. When the Lord gives you rest, you rest. When you push yourself to rest, you don't rest. Because everything good comes from our Father above in heaven who gives the good gifts. My brother and sister, it is him who gives us what we need. And the five foolish virgins have not learned of God to be humble and meek, and that he is the one that will give us rest. I will give you rest. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Because our land are going now. No, they reply. There will come the moment, and remember we said that no one is anointed as yes. You may look at the wise virgin and say, oh, you guys are so greedy. Why would you not share some of your oil with them? No is anointed. And there comes time when you need to say no. Learn to say no. Especially when it affects your spiritual life. There is a no that will protect you. That will protect you in your personal spiritual life. My brother and sister. Oh, what kind of Christian are you, your sister? How can you say no to these other sisters? These are your sisters. What the Lord said, love one another. Misapply the word. Misapply the word. There's been a lot of occasions like this. There will be more occasions like that where the word gets misapplied in different circumstances. There is someone critical, someone judgmental, will stand there and say, wait a minute, stand there, sisters. You are waiting for the Lord. They need some of your oil. Why can you not share some of your oil? What kind of Christian are you? Judgmental. That's not the moment when you share oil. There is a time for everything that is done under the sun. And they were giving them an anointed no. That's what they were giving them at the right time. My brother and sister, if they will share some of the oil, they will find themselves in trouble. And they could not come in. Because the order don't come from us. The order comes from Jesus and from him, not from us. This is what people miss to understand. That when the Lord is guiding us and directing us and telling us the way to go, we follow his leading. And what he says goes, we obey him. And the moment we let someone judgmental come on our side and say, no, you should be done this way, what kind of Christian are you? You can end up in trouble this way. My brother and sister. There may not be enough for both of us. There's the wisdom. There's the wisdom. My brother and sister. The people refusing to pray and spend time with the Lord. And they'll come to you for help. And they'll say, can you help me, brother? Can you pray? But they won't pray. You advise them to fast. They will not fast. Will you fast for me? They'll say. my brother and sister. And we are in the end of day, so deep into the midnight hour, waiting for the bridegroom, that everyone needs to take responsibility for their own salvation. Yes, we pray for one another. That's what we do every day. But a lot of people wants to go the extra mile, where they, if they'll end up in the Great Tribulation, it's okay because they're doing it for someone else. No. There's an order for everything in God. My brother and sister, it's an order. There's a time I have warned my family not to be vaccinated, that it was not of God. That God says to me that those who take to my thing will not be part of his kingdom. Warn them in person. Jesus came to me and spoke to me about this and say, you warned them with my message, and they did not listen. There is a consequence for that, he says. In other words, that's it. You did what you could for them now. It's up to them now. They're in trouble now. Standing on his mercy and grace. Grace is sufficient. His mercy endures forever. They get the opportunity to not to be eaten as a beast, not to be killed. That God can protect them and deliver them, and that they can get a second chance. We believe our God is a God of second chance, my brother and sister. That's what we are believing for. We know they made the greatest mistake anyone has made on this earth since they were born. We know that. But our hope is that with the Lord's protection and keeping them and delivering them, they can get the opportunity to repent and their DNA be restored and come back to the body and come into the millennium, be safe and come into the millennium and get another 1,000-year great opportunity. That's our hope, that our family who are vaccinated can be restored, the DNA can be restored, and they can get a second chance, great opportunity in the great millennium, 1,000-year reign with Christ. And there they decide who are they going to serve. Is they going to file Baal or they're going to file Jesus? They're going to file Satan when he released again at the end of 1,000 years, or they're going to follow Jesus? At least I get another opportunity in the millennium to say, so follow Jesus this time. Forget about what anybody else offer. At least I get to say that to them again, my brother and sister, that when those devils was released after the 1,000 years, to gather them from God to Magog again, he's going again to the four corners of the earth to gather them for that great battle, that we can be in the face of our family and say, you need to stop this nonsense. You need to stop to listen to the devil and listen to Jesus and do what God wants you to do one more time, right on their faces. I saw myself at the end of the millennium standing in people's faces, not to follow the devil. You know what some people say to me, and they push me to the side with the hand. Step aside, Brother Elvie, and follow the devil. My Lord, my God. Nothing else I could do. I could pull them by the hair, but I could hold them by the clothing. They would have kicked me. They would have kicked me down to the floor. My brother and sister, it's hard to convince people. It's hard. Even when they're going into the lake of fire at the end, it's hard to hold them back. And my brother and sister, even if I tie them with rope there, they'll hate me for it. Let me make my own choice, Elvie. Stay away. Oh, my brother and sister, this is not easy. This is not easy. Praise the Lord. No, they reply. What an anointed no. They may not be enough for both you and us. Go to the oil dealers and buy some for yourself. But as they went going off to buy, the bridegroom came. Why did he came? Because he promised to us he would. That's why he came here. We're reading that Jesus came back. Just as the disciples saw him leave, and the angel came in front of them and told them that the same way he was leaving. He was coming back again. Coming back again. The bridegroom came. Those that were ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus? It's the question. Those that were ready. That is the question. Are you ready? My brother and sister, are you ready? Hallelujah. Those that were ready went with him. You know why? Those that were ready went with him. Because they were one with him. We are one with God through the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. In our life, we have the Almighty Holy Spirit. And through the holy person of the Holy Spirit, we are one with God. My brother and sister, we're one with him. When he returned, my brother and sister, we go with him. Because the promise is that where he will be, John 14, we will be also. That's the promise of the rapture. The Apostle Paul explained to the Corinthian church that we are part of his body. We are members of his body. And so, because we are members of his body, we are one with him. The Lord showed me this in the spirit. I saw this great body of Christ in the spirit. And it was formed of my brothers and sisters. I was part of it. And I saw all these brothers and sisters, part of the body of Christ. And the Lord says that I see many people weak spiritually. But they are in his body, and he is holding them. He is holding them, my brother and sister. He holds us together. He keeps us together. You see that it's so difficult your walk is. This year, some of you, if I ask you, brother and sister, how difficult has it been for you to serve the Lord? And you'll say, Brother Elvie, it's been so difficult this walk. So difficult. But the printed leg on the sand that you see are not yours. But it is the Lord carrying you through this process. It's been the Lord. It has been the Lord carrying you through this difficult time, my brother and sister. And you might ask yourself, hallelujah, how, you may say how difficult it's been, but it has been the Lord in his grace and in his mercy that endure forever, carrying you through hardship, loneliness, and difficult time. Thank you, Jesus. It has been his grace sufficient for you and his mercy, my brother and sister, there for you to bring us through the hardship and difficult time where he has said he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will not abandon us. But his promise is, I will be with you always. That's a mighty promise. All the days of your life, he said to his disciple. What a mighty promise. He said he will be with us. Hallelujah. No matter how dark this world is, heaven lights never dim. It's always bright and brighter every day. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Very soon you'll see him face to face. Endure. Persevere. Don't look at the problem. Look at Jesus. And when you look at Jesus through the problem, you'll see the solution. Because he is the solution to every problem. Economical. Sickness. Oh, sickness cannot stand in his presence. Let me tell you that. You said you're sick. When you come to his presence, your sickness will just leave. And you said, that easy? I've been in pain all this year with this. And look, that easy goes away. That easy with him. All things are possible with God. My brother and sister, hallelujah, pray that you may have the faith to be healed. Because the faith to be healed is so little. How many of you have seen a mustard seed? There was a sister that went online and ordered mustard seed. And we were talking about this for years. We would come together and talk about it. And she said, I got a surprise for you, brothers and sisters. And she came with a bottle, a mustard seed, clear bottle for us to see. And the seeds are so small that she had to get it very close to us to see it. Look how small this is. We were stunned. And she said, these are the mustard seed that Jesus talks about in the Bible. I said, how is it so small? Jesus said, it is the smallest seed of all. Exactly. God is never wrong. You see, God is never wrong. There's not a seed smaller than the mustard seed. And I believe she ordered it from you know, because the original one from Israel, they're very small, very, very small. And she showed it to us. And I just kept looking at this thing so small. It is the smallest sea of all. And if you have the size, the face of the side of the mustard seed, you speak to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey, he says. Thank you, Jesus. If you have the faith, the sight of the mustard seed, you'll say to your pain, you'll say to your sickness, leave, and it will obey you. Ask for that faith. At least the sight of the mustard seed. Ask, pray for it. Fast for it. Say, Lord, I don't have that faith, Lord. Because eventually, Lord, I'm sick, Lord. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. I'm going through this, Lord. And if I'm praying and I'm not healed, if I'm rebuking the sickness and it's not leaving me and I'm not healed, then I don't have the faith, Lord. I repent for not having the faith. Now I want to fast and pray that you will give me the faith that I can rebuke this sickness and it will leave me. I believe some people are sick and the Lord, and so their faith will grow. I believe it. I believe it. There's some people are sick for their faith to grow. God wants their faith to grow. And in order for our faith to grow, we need to have the difficult before us. My brother and sister, before us. God has to allow difficult things in our life in order for our faith to grow. My brother and sister, and if you don't believe so, ask him yourself. Go to him yourself. I say, Lord, how come I'm not healed? Just ask him that. How come I'm not healed, Lord? Go to him. Pray fast. Lord, can you give me a dream? Say, Lord. Because you may say, Brother Lee, I don't hear the voice of the Lord like you. Oh, yeah, okay, no problem. Say, Lord, give me a dream from you. And in that dream, Lord, reveal to me, why am I not healed? Simple. It's not complicated. I'm not asking you to build a rocket for the moon, to go to the moon. It's something so simple. Ask Jesus, who has the answer to every single problem. Lord, why am I not healed? Okay? And he will reveal to you why, specifically why are you not healed. My brother and sister. Because years ago, I wanted to hear the Lord like other people. And I asked him why. And he revealed to me specifically why. My brother and sister. And I went after that why he revealed me. Because once he tells you why, he's never wrong. He is never wrong. A lot of people don't want to hear a lot of time what the Lord has to say. Because he may tell them why they're not healed or why this is not happening. They're not going to like it. But I believe, if the Lord said there's a lack of faith, then you'll say, but Lord, I believe you. Am I praying? Listen. Don't argue with God. Don't argue with the Lord when he reveals you something. Receive it. Receive it. And said, Lord, if it's a lack of faith on me, please increase my faith. The disciples said together, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Luke, praise you, Lord. Let me go there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It is okay to say, I don't have the faith. Because it's people, hallelujah, get offended. If the Lord says, I lack of faith, don't be offended. Blessed are they who are not offended in me, Jesus said. Blessed are they who are not offended in me. Don't be offended, please. We're here to learn from the Lord. We learn from him. He's our teacher, remember? He teaches us. Thank you, Lord. The disciple in Luke 17:5, the apostle, because they went from being disciple to being apostle of Jesus. Could you imagine? Reverence. At this time, they're reverence, as they call them today. Pastor, leader, minister. That's what they became here. Okay? Okay. Reverence. Okay, reverence. Let's hear what these reverence pray. The apostles say unto the Lord, increase our faith. But wait a minute, apostle. You walk with the Lord 3.5 years. They have also walked with John. John, who baptized people in the River Jordan. So they have plenty of years as believers. Now they are reverends, ministers. And they still don't have the faith. But it's okay to say, I don't have it. A lot of people get offended. Oh, how dare you say that, Brother Elvie. The apostle, the reverend, the minister said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We don't have it. Please give it to us. Increase the Lord. Increase the Lord. Please, Lord. Because he just told them, if you have the faith at the side of the mustard seed, you'll say to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey you. It will happen. It will come to pass. It will be a vote if you have the faith. You won't have this problem that you have anymore if you have the faith. My brother and sister, Jesus worked with me the same. He showed me my lack of faith years ago that I was struggling with. I said prayer and went to him, my teacher, my rabbi, the one that knows all, the ones that can reveal us what we need to know that is so important to us. I went to him in prayer. I was having problem. I was getting sick. I was turning pale. My liver was dead. My brother and sister, years ago, and I went to the Lord. And what the Lord wanted me to know was that it was why I was going through it. Why did this happen? How was happening to me? I remember the day when he revealed to me it was my lack of faith. My brother and sister, I remember a brother saying, Brother Elvie, it's like being a Christian for many years, someone slapping you out of the starting. You're like, why in the world are you doing this for? That's kind of how I feel. My lack of faith after being a Christian for years? See, people don't want to hear stuff like this. They want to figure out that there's something else. Why? And so, at that moment, as my teacher in high school said, breathe, Elvie, breathe. When I was dealing with something difficult and she saw me like choking there, breathe, Elby, breathe. I had to sit down and breathe when the Lord revealed me this. My lack of faith. That's the reason. Because if I would believe and ask him, he would have healed me right away. I would receive my healing. So some people have to swallow this information. And it was hard to swallow. As a Christian, it's hard. It hurts our ego, our pride. Some people say it hurts your pride to find out that something that you claim to have, you don't have. My brother said, that was me struggling with it. So I can understand other people's struggle. My brother said, but it's okay. We're dealing with a merciful, a good God. who grace is sufficient, who wants to help us with these problems that we have. And I began to fast and pray. And I began to ask him to increase my faith. My brother insisted, increase my faith. He let me know he was happy to help me with it. My brother insisted that without faith, here's the problem. How many of us want to please God? We may all say, me, Brother Elvie. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. That he might come to God, might believe, might have the faith. That's believer, that's the having the faith. That he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is faith? Faith is so real. Faith is so real. My brother and sister, that when we are walking by faith, thank you, Lord, we experience things coming to pass in our lives. But I wanted to experience that it was not happening, that as a Christian I was frustrated before the Lord revealed me this. As a Christian, I was frustrated because the things I wanted him to do was not happening, and it was because of my lack of faith. The problem was me, not him. He's perfect. This is what people don't understand. Why didn't God answer me when I asked him? He's not the problem. His promise is not the problem, neither. It's that he says that when you ask by faith, not doubting. He tells you how. When you ask by faith, not doubting. And so what I was doing as a Christian, I was asking, but I was asking in doubt. That's what I was doing. And when he revealed me this, it was hard to swallow. My brother and sister, it was difficult to, whoa, wait a minute. How can this be? Some people say, I was offended. Pride comes before a fall. I was offended. What do you mean? I read the Bible every day. I go to church every week. I pray for people. Like, I wanted to convince the Lord, Lord, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. Because I go to church every week. I pay my tithes and offering. You know, I'm a good Christian. I help out people. Now, like, I'm going to convince him. Like, I'm going to tell him, well, you made a mistake, Lord, because, you know, I help out a lot of people. I give my tithes and offering. I read my Bible. That's the attitude we have. It really doesn't work with God. Because he's telling me, I'm asking him a question. He's giving me the answer to my question that it was my lack of faith that was keeping me sick. And if I was humble, Lord, help us with pride, Lord, doubt and unbelief. If I was humble, this was about 15, 16 years ago, maybe a little bit more. 17 years ago, if I was humble, I would have not had a problem with the Lord. I would have been grateful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your revelation. I got it. This is what I needed. I waited so long for this answer. But I was struggling with the revelation. I was struggling with it. And that's what a lot of us do. We want to know what's the root of our problem. But a lot of time it's not because we want to hear the answer. A lot of time we're not even ready for the answer. Who revealed me this? The Lord. Afterward. That I was asking the Lord, I remember, in another occasion I was going through something. And I was asking the Lord to give me the answer of what I was going through. You know what the Lord revealed me? You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready for the answer. I didn't know that you spiritually, you cannot be ready for the answer. So I'm like, whoa, I was not ready for the answer of what I was going through. So then he said to ask him for help. Ask me, I'll help you. So I began to ask him through it. That's when he revealed to me that a lot of time God gives us a test in our lives, and we fail, and we fail, and we fail the test, and we fail the test, and we fail the test, and we need to take it again. He needs to give it to us again, and we fail the test again. And I didn't know this, and he showed me a test that God had ordained for him to give to me, for the Lord to give unto me, the Father ordained to give, and I kept failing the test. He revealed me all the time that I was failing in the past. In that process, he showed me his mercy in my life, because when I will fail the test, I probably will be hurt, and there were reasons that why I was failing the test. And when he showed me this, wow, Lord, he was teaching me humility. You know what pride makes us? If we have pride, we sin so much. A sinning machine, my brother and sister. So he revealed me that because I had so much pride in me and I was struggling with it, the test that God was ordained for him to give to me is I kept failing this because instead of humbling myself, I was wrestling with God. My brother and sister, remember he wrestled with, Jacob wrestled with the angel? My brother and sister, Jacob wrestled with the angel. Jacob struggled. Still another year wrestled with God. My brother and sister. But God bless them. He bless them. I will not let you go until you bless me. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. So, he revealed me it was my lack of faith. That if I ask him to increase my faith, he would. He would increase my faith. And then I will ask him to heal me, and he would heal me. My brother and sister. And so fasting, praying, he always recommended me to do that. I kept doing that fasting and prayer, I remember, back in Massachusetts. Hallelujah. He allowed me to experience my faith being increased, like into a mustard seed. It was awesome in the spirit. Because I was asking him, like the disciple, here. The apostle, the reverend, the pastor, the minister. Lord, increase our faith. They pray. You think this would just be, you got to humble yourself before him. And then the mighty hand of God will raise you up, the Bible says, when you humble yourself. So, hallelujah. I began to pray then. And cry out to him that I really needed him to increase my faith, because I was struggling too much. And I kept doing, and weeks, days were going by, weeks were going by. I don't remember how many months. The only thing I remember is that day when he came to me, and he says, "Now you can ask me to heal you. Now I will heal you." And I said, "Lord, heal me." In that very moment, when I asked him to heal me, I felt his power go through me. It's anointed. And at that very moment, the color of my skin, that was yellowish brown, deeply, because the signs of the problem with my liver, I already gone to the doctor. They had on my test, my result. Yes, I have a problem with my liver. It was well advanced. That very moment, he gave me a new liver. And I asked him, right there, my friends, instantly, he did it. Hallelujah. Now you can ask. Receive it. At that very moment, it was done. I heard his audible voice clear. Also, that's another blessing. When he increases your faith, you'll hear his voice. Because some of you want him to talk to you and lead you and guide you and more. Ask him to increase your faith. Ask him, "Lord, I repent for my pride down up. Believe, Lord Jesus, I'm going to fast and pray. Please, Lord, increase my faith to the side of a mustard seed, Lord. At least to the side of muscles, even more," I said. I remember. But he did. He did. He's faithful. I was asking him for something because he's the one that does it. As the apostle pray, as these reverends pray, increase our faith. Do you think he did? Do you think the Lord increased our faith? Hallelujah. Well, let's read. Let's read, because Peter was one of them. And the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And they suddenly came a sound of heaven, rushing mighty winds. This one accord was prayer and fasting together. Hallelujah. And the day of Pentecost, my brother and sister, they were asking God for his promise to come to pass over their life. But now it was different because they had prayed to the Lord to increase their faith. And now when suddenly they come from heaven, rushing mighty water, mighty wind, filled the whole house, and they were sitting and appeared unto them, clover unto tongue and fire that set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jude, the bow of men in every nation under the heaven, these things began to happen after they come together, after they fasted, after they pray. My brother and sister. Okay? Because now they were praying, they were asking God with faith. My brother and sister, their faith has been increased. Okay? The faith has been increased. My brother and sister, hallelujah. The chapter before says, hallelujah, in Acts 1:13, when they had come in, they went up to the upper room, and they were about Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son, the Alphaeus, Simon, Silas, Judah, the brother and James, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. What they were doing after they asked the Lord to increase their faith, they went into prayer, they went to declare, they went to proclaim God's promise. God's promise, they began to ask in prayer with one accord. That indicates that their faith has been increased, and now they have the confidence, because that's what faith gives you. That's what faith gives you. And I'm going to read it again in Hebrew 1. Praise the Lord. Faith, Hebrew 11, I'm sorry. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for it is the evidence of the things not seen. For by it the elder obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, by the thing that was seen. The thing the things that are seen were made of the things that were did not appear. And then by faith Abel offered unto God an excellent sacrifice, hallelujah, then Cain, which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testified the gift that by it he being dead, yes, speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see his death. He was not found because God had translated him. For before he was translated, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And you can only please God by faith. He had a testimony, my brother and sister, that he was walking by faith. The evidence was there. The evidence was there. Testimony. I've been invited to different churches. People have seen how, without even touching people, I pray for them. And they've been baptized in tongues, baptized in different gifts. People that had never spoken in tongues, as I lay hand on them, they immediately jump like the disciples speaking in tongues, as we had us together right there in the pulpit, in front of people. We had a pastor that came with her congregation in Washington and said, let me see if God truly uses this man, because I hear a lot about Elvis Zapata, Elvis Zapata. Who's this guy? Who's this man? How come? Most of his youth came forward for prayer. The other one won't even dare. I was inviting them. And I said, I'm not going to touch you. I was being led by the Lord. I'm not going to touch you. Raise your hand and close your eyes without touching him. Said, Lord, baptize them now. Because I'm beating you. They were all baptized in tongues for the first time. The church was not even preaching tongues. The pastor says to me, Brother Elvie, you know what's the awesome thing? That pastor did not believe in tongues. It was not teaching the congregation that anyone can speak in tongues. To her surprise, seeing her youth being baptized in tongues, speaking in different language tongues, and it was under the power of God. It was not the creation of man. She was stunned. Tear came out of her eyes. That was not part of her teaching. She just learning for the first time. My brother, and she knew it was God because this young man was committed to the Lord. She had them fasting and praying. Because I had asked the pastor that we pastored, will you have the congregation in fasting and prayer before we do the service? We want to see a great movement of God. And he said, yes. But this pastor who did not believe in people speaking in tongues was not teaching them to her church. Got surprised when the Lord baptized, I don't know if it was about 13 or 17 of her youth congregation in tongues. Instantly, boom, recorded in camera right there in front of the congregation. Whoa. And I told her, no, don't think it's me. This is the Lord. This is the promise of the Lord. Don't give me no credit. This is not about Elvie Zapata. This is the Lord. All glory be unto him, nothing to me. I don't want to take something that it doesn't belong to me. My brother and sister. And the same thing, everywhere they have invited me, they have seen the Lord do these different things. My brother's high pastor called me, contacted me, said, how is it that God is using you still in the last day this way? All glory to the Lord. I just look to be used by him. But I know if I'm doubting, if the faith is not there, I've got to ask the Lord, like the disciple, Lord, increase my faith. Simply that it is. If you don't have it, you don't have it. But you got to ask the Lord. He has it. He has plenty of it. He'll increase our faith. My brother and sister, the pastor in Florida, in Orlando, that I didn't want him to be fasting. I said, Pastor, he said he will be here by Nashville, Tennessee. I said, that's close to where I live, North Carolina. Will you mind coming by? I welcome you in my house. And because I know him for a long time. Come and you know, I was going to show him a few videos for him to see what God has done. You know, not to get any glory, but to show him that what I'm speaking on the Lord's hour, I know these are words, and I know the Lord has healed plenty of people through here, through the microphone. But come and see in the video that we have, that I have in my house, what God has done, that I don't even like to talk about it because the glory belongs to him. Come and see the power of God. You see people being baptized and here on camera. Oh, glory be to the Lord. You know? But because I was speaking about the by seeing, and he didn't like that, and he wanted to be vaccinated, after he agreed he will come, he did not. I feel so sorry, my brother and sister. Praise your Lord. Because the idea was for him not to be vaccinated. This gospel of the kingdom is to be preached unto all the nation for a witness unto all the nation. My brother and sister, it is a blessing to us to receive this gospel of the Lord, to have this gospel, to be saved by the Lord, and to be preserved for the last days. It is such a blessing. Taking this nonsense by seeing is not worth it. To be in dangerous of staying behind in the great tribulation and be into the process of seeing so many beasts and turning into beasts is not worth it. Jesus, this time, allow me to see these Christians, people, they're going to church to know the Lord, but taking the by seeing, turning into beasts. As they were saying, Brother Elvie, to me, I have not seen it to this level that the Lord was showing it to me now this time. But he was saying is that for me to see that what he has spoken is going to come to pass. What he had me say here is going to come to pass as he had me said it, because he says it's not your word, it is mine. And what can I say to that? I bow my head and totally agree with him. God help me to never question what he has said, my brother and sister. Because what he says is true. His word is true. He never wrong. Lord, forgive me for saying anything wrong. It's not my intention. My brother and sister, tell the brother, sometime I check with the Lord. I said, Lord, how was the message tonight, Lord? In prayer later on, I said, Lord, you know, I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't want to deceive anyone. Will you please let me know? And he'll say, you preach my word. It was fine. It was fine. I'm pleased, he'll say, sometime. And that to me means a lot, a lot. Because I want him to be pleased with what we're doing here. So that's what it's not about. It's not about just preaching. It's about preaching the truth. Because the truth is what's going to set people free. The only thing that's going to set people free is the Lord, nothing else. We can present any story. I like what Brother Miguel was saying when we were talking about the tea back on Tuesday night. He says, focus on praying to the Lord, Brother Miguel was saying. It's going to the Lord, and that is so true. It's always about Jesus. He's the only one that can help us. Yes, the tea will help restore the DNA. That's because God also made the tea, the plant, pine needle tree. But the main focus is Jesus here, praying to him, calling unto him, asking for help. And I thank God for Brother Miguel, my brother and sister, because we always need to stay focused on the Lord, keeping the Lord first no matter what. And all this is what's important. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Always keeping him first in what he wants. Because he's the only one that can help this falling humanity, sinking every day more humanity. He's the only one that can help them. They're sinking in sin. They're sinking in evil. And he's the only one that can rescue them out of their wickedness and evil sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, if we're not pleasing him, we're wasting our time. We're on this earth to please him. He says through Isaiah, these people have created to worship me for my worship. Please, what the word says. And that we are created to worship him. We are created to please him. That's why that we're, when we come to him with faith, we pleases him. That means he demands that from us. And Father demands that from each and one of us. The Lord, I remember several times the Lord reminded me of this, that when we come to God, we must come to him by faith. And there were times where we prayed doubting, and the Lord will rebuke me. He will rebuke me harsh. No. My child, my son, pray with faith, he would say. Tell me, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, I will repent my doubt, my unbelief. And he will be rebuking me day after day. You believe. Don't doubt. Doubt is so evil and wicked. My brothers and sisters. And that's the way God wants us to come to him, by faith. If you're praying, if you're reading the Bible and you're doubting what you're reading, it's not pleasing to the Lord. That's why before you open the Bible, repent of every doubt and unbelief. And ask the Lord every day to increase your faith. Pray, confess your pride, doubt, and unbelief, and say, Lord, please increase my faith. Ask Jesus, Jesus, please, in your name I pray, in your name I ask, Jesus. Forgive my sins and my trespasses, anything I say that is not of you, any lie, any deceit, anything, any pride, Lord, I repent pride, doubt, and unbelief. Please, Lord Jesus, increase my faith as your apostle pray. Hallelujah. In Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's how we should pray every day. That's how we should ask him to increase our faith, my brother and sister. But to get to where we say, Lord, increase my faith, is we have to humble ourselves. We need to know that we don't have it. And it's okay if you know you don't have it, if you say you don't have it. Don't think about the years you serve the Lord as a Christian and read the Bible and pray and fast it. Just know that if you don't have it, you don't have it. Remember when the Lord prayed over years for my family, over 10 years for my family to be saved, to come to the Lord. And one day I was crying to the Lord, tear running out of my eyes. I said, Lord, how come none of my family have come to you, Lord? I've been praying all this year, Lord. I haven't seen them come to you yet, Lord. And the Lord was about to give me an answer. My brother and sister, that I noticed, because sometimes I ask him for something, he remained quiet. Him remaining quiet, he had taught me this. If I ask him and he remained quiet, this is what it means. Either I'm not ready to receive the answer, or it is not his timing yet. My brother and sister, if I'm not ready to receive the answer, he needs to prepare me for it. But this is what I learned to say to him. Lord, please reveal me this, Lord. Will you please, Lord, beg you reveal me this. I began to beg him to reveal me the answer, because he has spoken to me so many times and asking him, answer me, but him being quiet, it meant that I was not ready to receive the answer. Hallelujah. And he says to me, you've been asking me to save your family, but not with faith, he says. Not with faith. Immediately I got it. My brother and sister. But I began to ask, and he was quiet. But when I asked and asked and asked, he answered me. And then I understood. And I said, Lord, please increase my faith. Give me the faith to pray for my family to come to you, Lord. And my brother, who I tried to reach him out so many times, evangelize him with the word, spend hours talking to him about the Bible. And he comes to me, I'm an atheist, he says to me. Because he was going to law school to become a lawyer. And I know what this professor was teaching him, this law school professor, teaching him about evolution and all that. And I know his foundation, where he was coming from to me. And I said, and I was preaching, and he says, I'm an atheist, he said to me, finally. A broken heart, I came out of my parents' house that day. I left. So my wife later on lived, kissed my mother goodbye, said goodbye to everyone, gave him a hug. I left, but I was a bit of broken heart, and I had to go and pray and fasting with the Lord, because I really wanted the Lord to come, my brother to come to the Lord, but I shared the word of God with him so many times. He was listening to the professor, then he was listening to me, but he would pay more attention to them than me. But after the Lord revealed me this, I began to ask the Lord to give me the faith, increase the faith in me, that I will pray and it will come to the Lord. To be sincere with you, not a month went by when my brother contacted me. I was in Massachusetts. He said, I have given my heart to the Lord. I'm faithfully now going to church, he says to me. What? Yes. And I asked him for more details, and he began to share. And the Lord was giving me a witness that what he was telling me was true. Oh, wow. It was an answer prayer so quickly, I believe it was, my brother and sister, because prayed for years, but then in less than a month when I asked the Lord to increase my faith and give the faith to us by faith. And then the Lord did it. My Lord, in seeing the work of the Lord, it is just so awesome. And he still, my brother and sister, read his Bible, seek the Lord. The only thing he did was he took the Visine, which was another heartbroken in my idea, because I told him from the Lord not to take the Visine, and he did not listen and got vaccinated like many Christians in his church. You know, pastor, all of them recommended the Visine. No, they think it's, they are saying like it's the greatest year since diamond was discovered from the earth, my brother and sister. It was like finding diamond. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for that, Andrew. Andrew says, started praying, apply what you have been teaching, Brother Evan. Now my daughter is seeking the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And that's also, thank you for reminding me of this. several testimony. When I began to share this years ago on the Lord's Hour, how the Lord asked, began to ask the Lord to increase my faith and recommended to people to ask the Lord to increase their faith. The testimony was coming through months after months, weeks after weeks of people asking the Lord and their family coming to the Lord right away after that. Testimony, testimony. And thank you for that testimony in the chat room now. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate that. That's a great reminder, my brother and sister, that it really touched a lot of people's life, a lot of people's heart. And they took the information to some people. Like when I shared this before, it was shocking to a lot of them as a believer. It was shocking. It was hard. A sister said to me, oh, when you said that, I was so offended, Brother Elvin. It was like a slap in my face. It was like throwing cold water on me. But then, you know, I took it into prayer. Why would Brother Elvin have to gain to say this on the Lord's Hour? You know, and I began to ask the Lord, and you know what? My daughter came to the Lord a few weeks after that. It worked, Brother Elvin. Thank you. But when you said it, Brother Elvin, I got so offended. Honestly, I love when people sometimes speak to me like they're so honest. So I was so offended. I mean, if you were in front of me at the very moment, I probably would have slapped you, Brother Elvin. No disrespect, Brother Elvin, but it was hard. When you said it was really hard. But you know what? Then I started meditating on. I took it like as the word of the Lord, like God was speaking through you, because I knew God was using you. God has given her witness that he was using me. And then, hallelujah, she said, you know what? I'm just going to begin to pray about it and ask the Lord, as God was saying to Brother Obi. I knew it was not his word, but it was hard for me. I've been in church for so many years, and someone come and tell me that I don't have the faith now. Oh, come on. Who do you think you are, huh? Yeah, I thought it was really funny. She sent all this message to me, detailing everything she felt and what she was going through. But at the same time, it's funny, but at the same time, it's true. True overcomes anything. The truth will set you free. So then she says she started praying and fasting and asking and praying and fasting. Took it serious. A few weeks after, her daughter came. Can you believe? I tried to evangelize this young woman for years to receive the Lord, to come to the Lord, to submit to the Lord. And when I began to pray, she comes and commit herself to the Lord, and now she wants to go to church for me. She was stunned. Like, what? And we weren't arguing before and all that. And now it was just so easy when the Lord just touched her heart and melted her heart, and now she wants to serve the Lord. Like, what in the world? It was so hard before. Now it was just so easy. And that's what the Lord wants to bring us, my brother and sister. All these testimonies just gave me joy. Every time I get these emails from people from different states, different countries, across the world, that they put it to practice and they work, Germany, France, Spain, no matter what. You know, Canada, Australia, you know. God bless my sister Pam in Australia. Dear sister, we love her so much, part of our family. Thank you, Lord. You know, and it's just so many brothers and sisters across the world. My brother, they take the word serious. They put it in fasting and prayer, and it works, and they just celebrate, and their family comes to the Lord. And it's like, thank you, brother. We thank you. And all glory be to the Lord. But all these experiences that I have with the Lord personally and the things that I didn't know that he had begun to teach me is what I'm giving to you. And I really believe, I really, really want you to take it to heart and take it into prayer. And don't disregard them without praying about it first. Just take it into prayer and go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, how come this, Lord? How come my husband has not come to you, Lord? Am I praying without faith for my husband? Am I praying without faith for my wife, my son, my daughter, my father, my mother? Is that what it is, Lord? I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for doing this. Sorry for praying for them all these years without faith, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that you will increase my faith. As the disciple prayed, Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. I have a few prophecies here that will confirm what we've been talking about, these people turning into beasts, that It's coming. It's up. It's just not, it's not far from now. There's a few things that I know, we know we need to come to pass first, patient. But the government is not patient vaccinating people. They're doing it every day as much as they can. Some stay over 90% vaccinated. My brother and sister, 90% turning into beasts in those days. Same thing with those countries. My brother insisted. But let me, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing hidden. The Bible says that will not come out to light. These, by seeing what's in them, God is revealing it. We have a doctor here, an audio from a doctor who been talking about this. I have not gotten that one ready. I might be able to get ready for Tuesday night. Don't miss our Bible study on Tuesday night. We've been talking about Ezekiel 38, Russia, China. And we're going to continue with that Bible study, Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 29, Jeremiah, I believe it's. And we're going to take these verses, explain them, and Daniel 11, just because, and then Revelation 19, Revelation 17, 18, and more. We began with Revelation 6, where the Lord gets on the white horse and comes down. He come to take vengeance. These things are unfolding during the Great Tribulation quickly. As the bride is celebrating in heaven, then these things begin to unfold, and, you know, it's just incredible. Now, Sister Celestia put up a new revelation from the Lord. Pastor James also had another Bible study Saturday morning. Knows the truth of the topics. He's on number 14. I have the audio. He's a great man of God. These programs are very powerful and anointed, and God will heal people who listen to them. And ask the last Sunday, or last Tuesday, we play it, last Sunday, and was so anointed, such a presence of God when we play his audio. They pray and fast a lot for these audio. God is using them mightily in the last days. My brother and sister, it is something that the Lord has spoken to him to come on the internet and do to bring people back to the basic of knowing the truth with the presence of God, with the anointing of God, and know the truth to be set free, because God's going to use them in the revival, me and many others. And we need to bring the basic teaching of salvation to our family who's going to be saved. Now, I think I'm more than those that are not vaccinated. Amen. Shalom, reverence. So remember that God is preparing the heart, the mind for the revival. This is why we're thinking, how come this delay, this small delay, it's a small, no delay. It is because he's preparing us for something mighty. You want to be ready. You want to be prepared. Amen. So join us Tuesday, Shalom Sister Luna. Don't miss. A lot of people last week kind of attacked me on the Russia, because they say, oh, you said that Russia, this time will be different, but Russia's packing up and going away. No, that's not going to happen that way. The Lord is never wrong. I could be wrong, not the Lord. Remember that. Okay? He said it will be different this time. And it's going to be different this time. It's not like people think it's going to happen. No, my brother and sister. This is the end, Father said. The end, nuclear weapon will be going off. From here, the only way is going to nuclear weapon. There's no, okay, the stage is being set for nuclear weapons. Whether people believe it or not, that's the outcome, because the church is going to be out of, soon, out of here soon. The Great Tribulation began, nuclear weapon. The only thing that in all this, the Lord is, God is patient, because he promised a revival, and he's going to bring it to pass. Remember that, my brother and sister. So listen to Sister Celestia. I have not heard this audio, but everything the Lord gives us is very mighty to help.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. Please check the drop-down menu below so that you can find out what today's video is about. You'll also find links to the other channels that have the same name, The Master's Voice End Times Prophecy Blog, on Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. You're welcome to recommend those channels to friends of yours who may not use YouTube for whatever reasons. You can also follow the videos there. You can share from there as well as from here. Please give a like so that it helps the algorithm share these videos more widely. And without further ado, thank you for being here, and let's start today's prophetic message. Today's message is continuing in the Supernatural series, God wanting us to look deeper into things that directly affect safety, sanity, and keeping a pure spiritual and natural line in the end times. So one of the big topics that's going to really hit the headlines in the end times is the matter of cloning, the matter of hybridism, the matter of transhumanism. Right now, we're sort of at the starter end of these things. So what you only pick up is tiny little headlines in maybe science journals and tiny little news features that aren't really in the public eye. But God is the author of prophecy, and what prophecy does is prophecy is looking ahead to see what things will be. This is the mind of God opened up and revealed to people, not only God's people, though the church is first and foremost on the Father's mind in prophecy, but God is revealing to mankind what things will be. It's extremely important for us as people to understand that the time that God has given us to rule, the time that God has given us to have dominion, the time that God has given humanity as a race, as a group, to have ascendancy, is rapidly coming to a close. We are coming to the time spoken of in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, what it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the devil has come down to you. The Lord has given me this phrase countless times in prophecy, celestial, take heed to yourselves because the devil has come down to you. So what does it mean when the devil comes down to us? If we are only at the beginning of times of cloning, times of hybridism, times of transhumanism. And when I say the beginning, I do not mean that these things are starting. I mean that those who have, whether we like it or not, legal charge over us, as in leaders and governments and rulers and people who are sitting in the high seat, at least for now, are finally beginning to tease the beginning of their brave new world, a world in which they envisage that human beings no longer need to die. We will be able to cheat death. We will be able to cheat God and his horrible laws that require us to age, and cheat God and his flawed design. If God really loves us, why would God let us get sick? If God really cares about us, why would God allow this and that? I've shared, and I will continue to share boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, that all these questions stem from pride. These are the outworkings of a prideful heart, a heart that, like the builders of the Tower of Babel, wanted to exalt itself above God's design, above God's law, above God's just punishment that he gave to Adam and Eve when he said, well, because, you know, you've done this and all that, you're being put out of the garden and you're not going to live forever anymore. So that was the first punishment, that man will now die and return to the soil from which he came. That is the punishment for sin that we justly deserve. But in the end times, workers of iniquity, sons and daughters of Belial, as well as the star Belial himself, Satan, in other words, will come up to the point of transcendency, will try to exalt themselves to the stars of heaven, will try to say, well, God had it wrong. God made a mistake. He didn't really mean that you have to die. We have solved dying. We have solved aging. We have even solved being a man if you were born one. We have so many new exciting promos and things to show you. And God has revealed that because in Satan's heart, there is pride. And in the heart of humanity, there is an equal and an opposite pride. And so there will be this perverse attraction between the wicked of a supernatural nature, which is Satan and the demons and the fallen angels and the Nephilim and the coming of angels and other creatures to the forefront of human history. If human ascendancy is ending, then that means as our star is dimming, as our star of being the central rulers of this planet is falling down, then Revelation 12:12, the devil who will come down to you, is going to rise and seize his 15 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of very aggressive and deadly fame, because the Lord has said that the devil knows he has a short time, and Satan, being extremely wicked and diabolical, is not going to miss or mess up 1 second of that. So today's prophecy is looking at humanoids, which means having a human shape, but not human. Humanoids and serpent people, July 6, 2021, and the overall banner for this was just alien. I put it in the alien series. I'm not yet finished with the alien series. I still have quite a few dreams to share. So I was spending time reading my Bible that night, and the voice of the Lord kept speaking to me and saying, they have to be exposed. They have to be exposed. So that's what pushed me to put this prophecy on the blog. I went through a phase last year where the Lord shifted sharply from natural prophecies. So we're talking about wars and rumors of wars and unrest and natural disasters. Excuse me, please. Things of that nature, and began to push me into the supernatural, saying, you have to expose these things, Celestial. You have to share these things. These things have been in my archives for years. They are not my favorite thing to talk about. And so I was not writing about them. I just had the information. And God said, you have to expose them. And so I started doing it. And so when I woke up that morning, July 6th or July 16th, whatever date I gave here, as soon as I opened my eyes in that sleepy state, the Lord said to me, hollowed out, plasticine, robotoid people, meaning basically robot people. Then he said, empty shells, no wires, full of hardware, metal chips, not people. Serpents among men, false humans, serpents mixed with human flesh, not people. And then right after that, I saw human-like shapes, like dolls, sitting in a row in a factory or a warehouse. They were either sitting on a bench or they were just in a long row seated, and they had a lot of wires and tubes coming from their heads. And what stuck out is a large tube coming out of the mouth and a large tube coming out of the head, both white. And all these wires and tubes coming out of all these male and female dolls, they were predominantly male-shaped, human-shaped dolls sitting in a row. But I have to tell you, these dolls were not synthetic doll-like. They had the same type of consistency that we have for flesh, except that they were not alive. Their eyes were staring straight forward blankly, and they were already dressed in business suits. However, they were blank, just the way a brand new computer is blank. It doesn't have anything on it except the basic software. It doesn't have passwords. It doesn't have your information. Nothing on it personalizes that laptop. That's how empty they were. They were staring straight ahead, and they were completely bald, so they had not yet grown heads, grown hair, and so they just had these white tube on the head and a tube, a big tube in the mouth, and then these other wires going up from each doll. Now, these wires, following with my eyes, went up to the ceiling of the building, and there was a large disc-like object attached to the ceiling, and it was glowing. So it was silvery, but at the same time, it was also full of light, sort of the bright white fluorescent light that you use in the kitchen rather than in the lounge space. And all the wires went into that large disc that was attached to the ceiling, and that disc was keeping them alive. Now, there's pictures in this post, so I would recommend always go back to the blog and read the prophecy for yourself. Your understanding will be better, the teaching will stay with you better, and you will have a holistic understanding of what God wants you to know. These men and women were already dressed, and they looked just like people, but they were not. And what the Lord put into my heart is, Celestial, here's how it goes. They sit here empty, and they wait to be needed. So when one of them is needed, then this empty shell will be taken off the assembly line, and the tube from the mouth and the tube from the head will be removed. It will then be woken up, and a consciousness, meaning a personality, making it Betty or Bob, will be loaded onto that doll, and then they will give it time to grow hair. They will also give it time to process the software that has been put into them so that they can have at least a working knowledge of what it means to be human. There's a distinct difference between being human and doing all the things that we do instinctively, laughing at a joke, getting angry if it requires it, or needing sleep and food. We don't think, at what time shall I feed? At what time should I sleep? We don't think about the mechanisms that make us human. We just are. But these creatures that I saw would need time to go through the software that has been uploaded on them so that they can get used to the concept of a human and then also get used to being part of the concept of being human. And they have to get time to walk around, get used to walking, get used to talking until they're finally ready. And then they let them go out the door and live with real people. Except that they look so real that once they're in the population, no one will ever know that there's nothing human inside that shell, that it only has hollow space, microchips, and uploaded brainware. And the Lord said to me again, hollowed out plasticine robotoid people, empty shells, no wires, full of hardware, metal chips. Not people. And I tried to say, wait, because I'd just woken up. So I was trying to get my bearings, but before I could even ask anything, the vision shifted and I found myself in a New York City train station. I've shared that when it comes to these beings that are not people, many times, sometimes the Lord will simply let me know, Celestial, just be aware of where you are, where you're living, and what's around you. And the way he does this is I'll go out and I'll have a perfectly normal day. If it's a day that I need to work from home, then if I step outside, it's things that I need to do. But if I'm outside for the day, it's just a normal day. And when I come back in sleep, the Father will replay that day to me. The only difference between the actual day I've had and the day I'm dreaming is that the people in the day I've had reappear in the dream, but they are noticeably different. They look like snakes. They look like lizards. They look scaly. Sometimes they look like full metal. So I've had dreams where I've seen people in my favorite grocers, but they are made of metal. They have this dull gray black iron skin and they are chiseled just like RoboCop. Some of them I've shared look like Iron Man with the glowing eyes that Iron Man has, and God even has them in the superhero blue and gold body. I think Iron Man's body is blue and gold. And I see humanity replicated as metallic beings, iron beings, or I see them appearing as snakes, or I see them appearing as serpents, scorpions, and just things that are not people. And the Lord is letting me know that you live in the midst of them. You live in the midst of them. They are actually around you. And as you pass by, because of my love, my covering grace, you're not even aware of what sits next to you on the average day on the New York City subway. And so he first showed me these creatures, these beings. They could be clones or they could be just some kind of synthetic creature that has been made on basically life support. And then before I could take that in, he switched it and I was on New York City's metro line, and I was surrounded by people who were not human and they were glitching like crazy. So in this vision I had, I stood on the train platform and the train showed up and I got on. I sat down, I made myself comfortable, we pulled off. After a couple of stops, I noticed that people were very uncomfortable. Some people in that train car were extremely uncomfortable, and I realized that they were uncomfortable because of me. What the Lord showed me is that a very high-pitched signal that was shaped like the Wi-Fi signal. Now, you know the Wi-Fi signal is like this, and then it has little rings in it. A very high-pitched signal shaped like the Wi-Fi signal was coming out of me. It was emitting a high-pitched sound that was not immediately audible. And that sound was the name of Jesus. So the sound coming out of me, was Jesus. And as the Lord showed me later, that I will explain, that sound that was coming out of me, the presence of God covered about 75% of the box train car that I was in. And wherever human beings were sitting, they did not care. They were on their Kindles. They were on their Beats by Dre. They didn't care. They were on headphones. They were reading. They were just relaxing. They didn't feel my presence in any way. But these non-human people were, excuse me, please, extremely sensitive to my presence. And if I can explain it, this is how it went. I got in and I sat down and the signal was coming out of me and I didn't know at first. And then I noticed that people were uncomfortable and they were glitching and their skin was changing. So their skin began to show splotches of dark green scales. Their skin began to show splotches of black scales like a serpent. Their skin began to show the silvery, rainbow-colored skin or covering that a fish has. And I was watching these people flush. This was a flush that was coming up into the body, starting in the neck. So whatever part of the neck is visible, this flush would rise up the neck. Sometimes it would show up on a cheek or on a patch, the whole forehead, and then just as suddenly it would go away. So some people were doing this like that creature Mystique in the X-Men, where it comes and then, but with some it just rose up suddenly in the neck or the face and then it went away. I saw rainbow colored fish scales, deep green lizard scales on the neck, and some people had this rubbery, tightly knit black snake skin on the neck. And coming out of me was not only this Wi-Fi signal that was emitting the word Jesus, but a bright golden light. And when it hit humans, they did not notice or care. But whenever it touched these others, they began to seriously glitch. And how their glitch was, it wasn't only their skin giving them away. They became extremely discomfited. They were bouncing their leg. Some of them were visibly wringing their hands. Now, we know you wring your hands when you are extremely agitated or even when you're in deep grief. They were wringing their hands, and it was like they wanted to flee the car, but they could not. They were just sitting there. And so I saw fish skin, snake skin, a lizard skin popping on and off cheeks, foreheads, and the necks of certain men and women in the car with me. It happened to people in business suits, but it also happened to people in ordinary clothing. And I didn't know if these people were aware of it, but I was staring in fascination and I thought, wow, God, look at this. This is not real people. These are other things in a human shell looking like people. But whenever the presence of God comes around them, they're unable to maintain the spiritual wall that they create to make us see them as people. And their real self just shines through. And when I thought this, the Lord changed the view and it became an aerial view. So I was now looking down into the train car as if God would be looking down into the train car. And I saw myself like a little dot at the center of this outgoing Wi-Fi signal with this golden light coming out of me, which was emitting the name Jesus. And these people were extremely, extremely, extremely discomfited. And the Lord said to me, serpents among men, false humans, serpents mixed with human flesh, not people. And so I've shared that by now, if you are not new to this channel, then you know that the Master's Voice is a place that I bring forth the prophetic warnings of God. And we have to understand, please, that we are heading into the final times. After these times, there shall be no times. If you watched my introduction video, then you already know how I came into this knowledge, is that I was deep in prayer because I needed God to do something really big for me, and it was way outside my budget. It was a huge shift and transition in my life that I needed, and I was praying with all my heart, and the Lord said to me, these are the last days. And it was like I heard him, okay, Father, and I kept praying, and he said to me, Celestial, these are the last days. And I kept praying. I heard the voice, but I kept praying because this issue was important. And the Lord said, these are the last of the last days. After these days, there shall be no more days. And that stopped me in my tracks because I understand about the last days. I know that there's a Daniel who talked about these things. I know that there's an Apostle Paul who spent all his life preaching to the church in a very urgent and a very present way to make the people of even the ancient church, the old church, the first church. Paul preached to them as if the coming of the Lord was then. He was such a present minded servant of the Lord, saying, waste not one moment on frivolities, for soon our Lord cometh. The reason that Paul's writings seem so fresh even to the modern writer is because Paul believed in his heart that the Jesus who knocked him off his donkey was coming back very soon. And so his teachings about the end times, few though they are, carry an urgency that actually, it's the fault of the church that that urgency has been lost. It is not the fault of the ancient writers like Apostle James and Apostle, I think it was Jude, who wrote about the fallen angels being held in chains for breaking their first estate and that they would be released and then be judged. It is not John the Revelator's fault that he wrote all these things and the church just became laid back and lackadaisical. The men who wrote these things wrote them as if they cometh now. But in this generation, the generation upon whom they now cometh, we have no belief in us barely to believe that these things can happen because we have been taught of God, aka Santa, the wish granter, who would never release zombies and all the wickedness of Satan upon us. And yet Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 says, trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And so I always say in my writings, when I'm sharing the Lord's word and I'm teaching around what he has said, is that who has spent an afternoon or perhaps an entire weekend getting lost in thought about what Satan is capable of? We look at the state of the world today and we look at the heinous crimes that humanity commits one against another because of the wickedness of Satan that has risen up in us. And I wonder, do we think that the wickedness we have seen, such as human trafficking, such as raping people on trains now, do we really think that that is the height of what Satan can do? When the Bible says all the power of the enemy, look at all the wondrous things that God has created. And Satan, the fallen, wicked cherub that imitates, do we really think that he does not have a plethora of things that he has created that are under his power, which is what Jesus warned about when he said all the power of the enemy? The devil surely has his cohorts. He certainly has the people and the beings that he has made and that he commands, and these things shall come upon the earth in the last days. And therefore, it is necessary for God's church to have this same present understanding and urgency as the first church. And so I will share that God says that we are not down here alone, that we are not only up against heavy hitters like the fallen angels. No, that's not the only thing we're watching for. It's not just the Nephilim. It's all the wicked inventions that Satan has made that have been living down here with us for decades and centuries. Now, if you marry or befriend or procreate with the fish people and the serpent people, then are you not going to first be their prey when they reveal themselves? And also, won't you become a part of the ancient Nephilim birthing chain without even knowing it? This is the second prophecy that I incorporated into this one, and it's called Things the Lord Showed in Prayer. This is almost exactly a year before, June the 2nd, 2020. I was praying to God at 5 a.m. in the morning, and afterwards he started to talk to me about things that had nothing to do with what I was praying about, as is his habit. He spoke about peculiar characteristics that will be seen in the human population. The Lord has been teaching me about these things and telling me, Celestial, you need to watch out for this and watch out for that. When you see it, it's not just a genetic anomaly. It's actually evidence of these creatures mingling in that person's blood pool at some point along the timeline. This time, what he talked to me about was webbed digits. He said that there are people here on earth who have webbed hands and feet, meaning that they do not have five separate fingers and toes, as you see me displaying here, but that they are distinct in that their fingers and toes have webs. Now, web digits are only found in the amphibian world, so we're looking at the open water dwellers and members of the water kingdom. So you have the ducks and the frogs and water birds with webbed feet, and then you even have creatures that have fur like otters and weasels and beavers who also have webbed hands and feet. The point is that such markers are never supposed to show up among people. People are not supposed to be manifestly scaly as well. So he said that some of them won't have the obvious stretchy and delicate webbing that you find between the toes of a duck or a frog. What you'll just see is perhaps too much flesh in this area. So instead of having the groove that we have, he said you will see a higher than normal wall of flesh in between the fingers. And he said that some people will actually have these proper webs, that is the delicate, transparent flesh joining their fingers and toes. Either these people are the real thing, meaning that they are the actual satanic entity itself, or they are manifesting the gene that shows that other beings have tampered with their family line. Now, I will just go ahead and say this and be honest. If we have come this far in the Master's voice, or even if this is your first video, and I cannot say freely that human beings have been contaminated with these Nephilim, then I am doing the Lord a disservice, because the prophetic words that he has given me clearly show the opposite, that these creatures are not new to mingling with people. They mingle people in how they abduct people from this earth, and they tamper with their reproductive systems, they tamper with their sperm, and they tamper with their ova, and they do all kinds of things, and they blend themselves with man and sometimes put those blends back in the human being, or they keep them by themselves. They are very interested in human reproduction, and God has shown that, at least with aliens, the encroachment of what they do on human beings really affects human beings at a deep psychological level. And this is because they tend to put people to sleep and do things to people, such as conduct experiments on them. The Lord showed me a man who had been cut open, and he was fast asleep, and his entire digestive system, both the small and the large intestine, had been taken out and laid out in perfect biological formation on a table. And these creatures were studying it to see how it worked, and this man was sleeping. And then they would take all his guts and put them back in and seal up the joint. And when this man wakes up and comes back to real life, he will be able to feel at a psychological, even a spiritual level, that something major and huge has happened to me. But because his mind was affected and the memory of the truth also affected, he would be in the horrible position of walking around with the soul and spirit telling him, great harm has been done to us, great wrong has been done to us, but the mind cannot recall the information. And God showed me that it causes such painful emotional turmoil inside of people. They're fretful and they're worried and they're upset and they don't know at what, and they can live their lives possibly in that condition unless something happens to jolt the truth from the deep place, or unless they find out, or unless perhaps the Lord himself reveals it to us. And so these various markers are not supposed to show up among people, but the Nephilim and Satan have been tampering with the human bloodline for a long time. And so there are many different manifestations of what the serpent that is Satan has done. I even would like to take this moment to say that in Christianity, when you have the scripture before you and you don't love it and you want to rise above God's own word and God's own account of the truth to prove that you have a higher truth and you know better because you've been reading the rabbinical writings and you've been reading the Talmud and this and that, you do yourself a disservice and you are going to contaminate the wellspring of scripture in you. So this group that is walking around talking about that Cain is the seed of the serpent, Cain is the father of the scripture clearly says that Adam knew his wife. She conceived. She brought forth a male child, and she named the boy Cain and said, I have received a man from the Lord. So right there in the Bible, father's name is given, mother's name is given, son's name is given. But then somehow out of this simple sentence, there is an entire sect of Christianity that is going around and claiming, oh no, Cain is the father of the serpent people. No, the serpent people know their father. The serpent people far outlasted Cain, who just got old and died. But the serpent people have been ruling in many parts of the world. In fact, in Hindu mythology, I finally got the right name for it, and it's actually the Naga. The Naga are serpent people who are highly venerated in Indian society. And the word Naga, actually, one of its meanings is wonderful. So I've taught on the Master's Voice that if you study the Bible, or even study facts and research one-dimensionally, you're doing yourself a disservice. When something is said to be wonderful, that doesn't automatically mean that it's good. The power of an exploding volcano, the power of a tsunami is also wonderful because it simply means to cause to wonder. So these Naga were extremely secretive, extremely powerful beings that could manifest as all human, as human on top and snake at the bottom, or fully as upright serpents. They had the ability to do this. And I've shared many times that when these creatures come into contact or came into contact with early man, the manifestation of their gifts and abilities and skills would surely have amazed humanity of that time. It does not mean that humanity of that time were fools. It simply means that humanity confronted with them that can fly and them that can heal themselves and them that live for 700 to 2,000 years among the people and remain looking like a 21-year-old boy are considered wonderful. The Lord gave me a dream, and that dream is shared in another message. I think it's called Transhumanism and Something Else. If you put the word transhumanism into the search box, you'll find it. In that dream, it was just as simple as this dream of being on the train. I've shared that God will simply use my daily life and show me stuff. In that dream, it wasn't so deep. I was simply walking down the street. I was walking down the street and people were passing me on the left and the right. The only thing different about this dream is that I'm walking down the street, Celestial, and on the left and the right, as people pass, the majority of the people passing me here in New York City were upright serpents or upright reptiles or upright lizards or things like that. And they were so many that I made this face of almost a face of fainting, almost a face of, God, this can't be real. How can there be so many of them and so few of us? The majority of the people who were passing me were other beings. They had a head, and sometimes from the head on down, I saw the smooth underbelly of a snake. If a snake is coming towards me, the belly will be showing, not the back markings. So they had a head and they had two arms. It was winter. I had this dream very recently, perhaps just towards the end of last year. And I'm in my coat, and it wasn't a day that was so cold that we would zip up the coat. So the coat was open, and they're in their coats, and the coats are open. But on both sides are passing me. On both sides are passing me the smooth underbelly of a snake, and then it goes down into the pants, and then I see legs, or it goes down into the skirt, and then I see a person walking, but God is showing me, look at this part, this is a serpent, or look at this part is like a frog. And then sometimes I saw a head, and then arms, and then the entire body from here down was a snake, and these people are going past upright. Past me, and sometimes it was a reptile walking past, and it was just so many of them that in that dream I had, I really despaired. I despaired of seeing them. And so the Lord said that those with scales on the body, people who have scales under their skin, some of the scales are very closely interlocked. They are shaped like the letter U, and they interlock one into the other in a very tight fashion, just like snake skin. And when the scales are tightly meshed together, they form a waterproof barrier on the bodies of these serpent and water people. So one of the first times I ever saw these, it was a vision, and it was a man, just a naked man. It was a picture of a lake, and I saw the man from the back. And here's the lake, and then there were trees ringing the entire right side of the lake. And I saw this man from the back walking to the water, and he walked up to the water. And then, you know, when you walk up to water, you will walk up to it until a certain level, and then you will begin to swim in it, keeping your head above water. This man walked up to the water and went under the water. And as he was walking up to the water, his normal skin was going away. And what was surfacing, as I will explain in a minute, what was surfacing was these tightly interlocking scales. And he went into the water and began to walk along the bottom of the lake without being bothered. And the Lord zoomed in on the arm of this man, and I got to see this interlocking scales very close up, exactly the way little children draw the scales of fish, all those little U's. And I saw sitting on the surface of the scales the tiny, tiny bubbles that you get when something is airtight. You know, the air bubbles will form outside an airtight thing, but they're not able, because water can't get in, the bubbles just form outside to show this thing is an airtight lock. So this man was able to walk along the bottom of the lake with no problem, no need to worry about going up there. And the Lord told me that when they walk there, those little air bubbles that form on the edge of the skin can actually eventually get so many that they will form a big pocket of air around that person, and the person can draw air from that outer coating almost of the air pocket and not worry about needing air for a very long time. So all of this falls under the prophecy from the mouth of our King, Jesus Christ, when he said, in the days, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be again. In the days of Noah, it was not just about a big boat building project. It was about the fact that the boat building project needed to take place because the earth had become corrupted with every single thing that God had not created, human women mating with fallen angels and bringing forth great giants, and then also genetic experiments of the devil that brought forth monsters that, because of their partly angelic nature or because of their satanic origin, did not die. Many of these creatures, if you look through the mythologies of the nations, were the first kings, the first people who basically started to rule among men and command humanity to serve them almost as scales. And so with the Lord speaking of these scales, he said that the scales can sink deep into the skin so that they're not visible in the flesh at all. But at times, due to external factors such as anger, when they become angry, it becomes harder for them to hold their shape. So when they are frustrated or very angry or under a lot of stress, this is when the scales, as I said in the vision that I saw, begin to manifest on the face or the cheek, or it might just be the entire face change for just a while. Their eyes change. They're basically not able to hold the shape that they are, and then you can perhaps see what they are, not that you would want to. And also when they are uncomfortable, their scales rise to the surface. So what I saw, sometimes the Lord will just zoom in to show me what he's talking about. What I saw is that one of them was very hot. One of these serpent people was very hot. I don't think snakes do too well in heat. They get sluggish and very unhappy if the temperature is too hot for them. And this man was so hot that his scales just came up the way a hippo comes up from the water and then perhaps goes back down. His scales involuntarily rose out of his flesh, and then he got control of himself again, and they went back down. The next thing I saw, this is all from the June 2, 2020 vision and teaching. When the Lord is teaching me, there are lots of pictures to see. I saw a man that was swimming in a pool in great happiness, just the way you might imagine how happy a pet fish would be if you buy it out of a crowded pet store where it has to share the tank with all the different fishes. And you take your little fish home and you put that little guy in his own tank, just the way he would be swimming around and moving his tail and whirling in little circles. I saw a human being doing this. This man was doing the kind of tricks and turns that you usually expect to see from a very young seal. He was so agile in the water. And then he came out of the water, and he shook his hair and shook the water out of his hair, and he looked right at me. Of course, he wasn't looking at me. He was just looking, and I was sitting up in bed looking at him through a camera perspective, and this man's skin was iridescent. Basically, he looked like a very big silverfish. No human skin of any race is iridescent, because the best that skin can do is when you oil it, then we glow. But we cannot reflect light because we are matte. We are not made of anything that is reflective. But this man had a rainbow gleam coming off his entire body. And I just sat there looking at him shimmering in red and gold and blue and yellow and purple. And I just looked. There wasn't anything to say. And so here are the main points that God would like us to know. Not every prophecy that the Lord has to bring is going to relate to natural things, governments and wars and famines and things like that. These things have always been a part of human history, and there's a place for them. But as Christians, we should know that our faith is a supernatural exercise. If we see ourselves following a God that we can't see, whose power we can't see, is given to us to fight enemies that we can't see, then we need to be a little bit wiser than we are now. Prophecy is transcendent, meaning that occasionally it will rise into the realm where it covers things that we may not have heard before, or it covers things that we do not have any precedent for or filter for. That doesn't make it untrue. It makes it new, and yet all of it relates back to the Bible. If the Bible says as it was in the days of Noah, then when I speak about Nephilim and the undead coming here, the undead were a part of the ancient world. They have rituals to raise the dead and walk about in those secret Egyptian books. That is why people are so interested in those ancient religions, because they were doing all the things that I'm sharing here according to the Lord's wisdom and revelation. Also, Satan is extremely wicked and extremely hardworking. He's always on the job finding new ways to try and break through the covering fence of God's word, God's love, and God's protection over his people. And one of the ways that Satan will get disobedient people is that they will not want to stay within the parameters of God's protection. They will, being children of disobedience, try to go against the warnings and protection that God has set in place. And Satan will simply send to humanity demonic things and packaging that men and women cannot resist. And one of the things that men and women cannot resist because they are disobedient and they break the laws of God is sex. People use sex to sell yogurt now. I have no idea what yogurt and breakfast food and sexual activity have to do with one another, but our society is so lewd and so licentious now that the things that they have on TV, apparently marketing breakfast cereal and things like that, just are beyond the pale. So because human beings do not keep God's laws of chastity and moral purity and staying away from sexual immorality until you are in a lawful marriage, when Satan brings demonic things in packaging that people can't exist, they will just find themselves joining with these things and bringing forth new little hybrids that will then go out into the world and marry the sons and daughters of unsuspecting people who don't pray, don't know God, and think that everything that I say on this channel is just nonsense. So the Lord says that Satan has tried and tested methods of deception and lies and infiltration and trickery. And here is what infiltration means. To infiltrate means to mingle, to join with, and to blend with until you can't tell the difference. And Daniel the prophet warned that this would happen in the last days. And they shall mingle with the seed of men, but they shall not be able to cleave to them. Just as iron does not cleave to clay, so they will not be able to cleave to us. And this is speaking of a demonic infiltration into the us, because if you look at the text, it's pretty simple. It says, and they shall mingle with the seed of men. If you take the seed of men, you're talking about every man, woman, and child on this planet. So you've already captured all the true human flesh and blood and put them under one set that is called the seed of men. Once you have the set called the seed of men, you're talking about all humanity. Who then is they? Has anybody spoken to you in your Bible group or church lately, especially if you're new to this, about who they can be? They are the fallen angels. They are the wolfmen that are walking around changing once a weekend when the moon is full and just looking a little hairier and very Latin for the rest of the time. No offense to Latin men. They are anything like these creatures with the clones or the synthetics with the pump on their heads and the pump in their mouth, keeping them alive until they're prepared and dressed up and they come out into the suit and it's Jared in accounting and you can't wait to ask him on a date, not knowing that Jared can't wait to infiltrate you with something. The Lord had said that they're hybrids that are just empty, they're just microware and chips, but he has also told me, Celestial, there are types that can do everything a man can do. They can make you pregnant, they can live with you for 40 years and laugh with you in what looks like a happy marriage. Because, here's a thought, the Lord has said to the nation of America that Russians are here already, that they have infiltrated this nation in every conceivable layer, from the government to the movie stars to the sports stars to the ordinary old lady living next to you. And they don't have accents. He said that they are more American than Americans. So if human beings who have an end game to bring down an enemy that has always frustrated and angered them, if human beings can be carefully playing an end game for I don't know how long before the Lord raised me up to speak of these things, then Satan, who will not die until lake of fire time, how long do you think he has been breeding his silent army and having them intermarry into the population and say, stay with them because the day cometh when we will reveal ourselves, and then Jesus' words will be found to be true. Luke 20:21-26, men's hearts failing them for looking upon the things that shall come upon this world. Not all of it will be because there are bombs going off and wars being fought. Some of it will just be finding out that a partner of a lifetime wasn't even a person to begin with. As iron does not cleave to clay, so they will not be able to cleave to man. So I think that's a fair assessment of the facts and a good revelation of the Lord's truth. Stay under the shadowing cover of the Lord. Thank you. I am Celestial. And thank you for watching these videos. Thank you for sharing these videos. Thank you for coming back to the channel. Thank you if you're subscribed. Thank you if you are a supporter of this channel. I used to be able to send individual thank you emails, but that is now gone with the wind. There are a lot of people, and I'm barely able to get through the mail that I do get. So I always say my thank yous here. God bless you as you support this channel. I pray that the Lord will return your gift to you in multiples. Let us stay in prayer, and let us stay sober, and let us take the Lord's words to heart. Until I see you again, God bless you, and goodbye.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you this morning. I praise you. I honor you. I bless you for who you are. I thank you for your word of encouragement to all of us in this time. That, Father, you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. I ask you for your mercy, and your mercy will locate me this morning, my brothers and sisters. I cover myself. I decrease that you may increase. Oh, Lord God, speak to us in this time. I praise you and I honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's very early. I think it's almost 3 a.m. in the morning. Doing my personal quiet time when I was reading Acts chapter 12, and the Lord began to minister to me. And this morning I'm here to share with us what was put in my spirit, what the Lord put in my spirit, and those things that he reminded me of, which he revealed himself to me. Real life and some true dreams and revelation. But I want us to read the scripture. Sorry if I'm very low. That's because it's late. It's like 8 a.m. in the morning and all of us are still sleeping. So Acts chapter 12 verse 7, the Bible says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Guard thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So I encourage you to just read through the Acts chapter 12 from verse 1, and you'll be able to get a clear understanding of how the angel of the Lord appeared to Peter being bound in prison. So this is Peter being delivered from prison from in the hands of Herod, because Herod has killed James, and now he was desiring to kill Peter. And now he arrested Peter after the unleavened bread and put Peter in prison and have four soldiers guarding him in the prison. So when I read this, you know, I started to shed tears and I began to cry, and the Lord began to minister in my spirit. And it was like, as the Lord began to speak, it's like what came in my spirit was that I saw how Peter suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, Peter was imprisoned. Because of the gospel, he was put into prison, and he was on a death sentence list, even though it was in his time. But he didn't die. The Lord saw his sincerity. The Lord saw the faithfulness of Peter. He saw how Peter would still be used. And because of the church intercession, because of the church interceding for Peter, the prayers of the righteous children of God, it ascended up to heaven, and the Lord sent his angel to deliver Peter from out of the prison. Now, as I was reading and sharing tears and just thanking God, and the Lord just began to draw other things within my spirit, and then he reminded me way back in Sierra Leone. I was very young at that time, to be precise. I don't know what age I was. And I went to the creek, like in a deep forest, to wash some clothing. And while washing, I found out that I was there by myself. I saw monkeys. I saw the fish in the water, some creepy stuff, you know. Those kind of forests, it's easy to find snakes that can, you know, creep in and bite you at any time. And so it was very frightening for me. And at the age, I was watching my sisters and brother close, including myself and my mom, my aunt. And so while we were at, you know, while I was at this creek, other people left and I was there by myself. And I was so frightened and so afraid. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't be afraid. And when he said that, and then he opened my eyes, I'm telling a true life story. And I saw two angels right before me, standing, protecting me. He said, look, I'm here to protect you. Fear not, Grace. And when I saw the two angels, I was so amazed. I was overwhelmed by how the Lord surrounded me with presence, like, where I felt like I wasn't protected. I felt like I was left alone. The presence of God came. The Lord released his angels to protect me in the place of my fear, in the place of doubt, in the place of insecurity. And when he comforted me, and I begin to see myself in the, you know, in the scenario of Peter. And then another occasion, the Lord began to minister to me and begin to remind me of how his presence had been with me. Another great story that the Lord appeared to me, and he released his angels, not appear, but released his angel to rescue me. In the same Sierra Leone, I fell into a very deep well a very deep dry well that has been dug for years, for decades. And from what I've heard, that they said this well was dug and they don't cover it. People normally fall into it. I don't know what happened to them. But before I fell into that well, the Lord revealed in a dream that this was going to happen, that somebody from the family was either going to die or get wounded and not be able to walk. And so I was the one, the Lord, oh no, thank you, Jesus. So in the day, thank you, Lord, I bless your name, Jesus. Thank you for the remembrance, so God. So it was in the dream. It was during a broad day. I went to the water to draw water from the well. And when I began to draw water from the well, the Spirit of God began to minister to me. Now, I was very young, very small. I can't tell you the age. But when I began to draw the water from the well, the Spirit of God, the Lord began to speak to me. He called me. He said, my daughter, I want you to look deep down the well and describe what you see. And I begin to say, Lord, I see a water in the well. I see two sides of the hole. There is one side you put your hands and you climb up and say, my daughter, I'm with you always. Remember this. And the same very day, my sister and I, my brothers, we went to buy kerosene for our lamp, because we use a lampstand during the night because we didn't have no current. And so when we went on our way back, you know, the dog began to bark at us, and we were all afraid of dogs. And so Africa dogs, of course, you know. And so there was this people, they wanted to show us another direction. And when we went that direction, it was the direction of a dry well that was dug for years, like what I just mentioned previously. And so I was the oldest, and all the children, they jumped over that well. And I was the only person. When I lifted up my foot, I lifted up the other one. Before I knew it, I went down with my back into the well. And then the Lord came and said, Grace, my daughter, I'm here with you. Remember, I revealed this thing to you today, but fear not. I'm right here, and I'm going to bring you out. And so when the Lord came, he overshadowed me. He took away my fears. He took away that death that the enemy meant for me or for my family members. And he said, I'm going to bring you out. He said, no man will bring you out, because at that time it was very late. I think around 10 p.m. to 11, you know, Africa is dark and certain places don't have electricity. And so there was no light and it was dark. I couldn't barely see the cloud, nothing. And I could hear voices. Oh, she's in the well. Oh, she's in the well. She's there trying. There was no ladder could bring me, you know, no ladder you can use to bring me out. And that's how the Lord began to comfort me. Brothers and sisters, what if there was a snake in that well? What if there was grass battle? What if it was something dangerous that would have taken my life? I wouldn't have been here by 3 a.m. in the morning, close to 3 a.m. in the morning, sharing this testimony with you, that when God called you, even if the devil desired to save you, when the devil desired to take your life at an early age or whatever time he imprisoned you, God always sent his angels to rescue you. And so the Lord brought me up. He said, my daughter, I'm bringing you up. And I saw my feet being elevated. This is not this is not something that I made up. This is a real life story. And the Lord began to bring me up out of that well. And when I came out, everybody was amazed how I came out. It was impossible to them. Now, why did the story of my life, and there were many scenarios physically that I saw the Lord, he delivered me, he rescued me. And just comparing this with the story of Peter, Herod, is the person that persecuted the children of God. Now we have the devil that doesn't want us to fulfill our destiny. The devil doesn't want us to serve God. He doesn't want us to live to preach the gospel. He doesn't want us to do the things that God has called us to do. And even when I came to the U.S., I had two major accidents that we have taken my life out of this world. But the Lord revealed that accident. And the second one was the one that my car was beyond repair. And I thought I was going to die. But the Lord came to me in the vision. He appeared and I saw the angel of the Lord flying over me. And when he came, he stood by my car and he said, I'm your guardian angel. I've been flying along with you all this while. But he said, watch out. And it didn't take a while. I had those two accidents. Brothers and sisters, if you are serving God faithfully, no matter what the devil wants to do, no matter the trap, no matter the imprisonment, no matter what he has sent all his thousands of angels to make sure that you fall, to make sure that he terminates your life to get you out of this world, God won't allow the enemy to take our lives just like that, especially when our assignment is not finished, when we have not completed our assignment. Whatever it is today that you feel that the devil has imprisoned you with because of the gospel that you are preaching, because of the Lord's work you are doing, the Lord is telling you today that his presence is with you. Just as he delivered Peter. Because when you read that in Revelation 17, the Bible says, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declaring unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So Peter, after the Lord delivered him, he went to the Frederick brethren, and they were surprised to see him. They said, no, this must be an angel of the Lord. But he said, no, it is me. The Lord sent his angels to rescue me. So brothers and sisters, even in this time, I want you to have faith in God. In this time we are living in, even if they take you, they arrest you and put you into prison, the Lord, if it is not your time to be, well, if it's not your time to die, even if you're in the hospital and you are at a place of darkness, you have chains in your hands and you can't deliver yourself, remember the story of Peter. Remember how God sent his angels to deliver him. Brothers and sisters, we are called by God. And if we are called by God, he said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord said he will always be with us to the end of the world. Fear not. He said, the Bible said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we are living in these times, we will be persecuted. We will be thrown into prison. But fear not. Fear not. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. Whatever dark situations you are going through today, whatever your fear, your anxieties, your insecurities, whatever it is, the Lord wants you to trust him. He wants you to know that he's with you. If the Lord sent his angels to reveal to me, not in the vision, the first one was not a vision, it was in something that was sleeping. It was wide awake. I was watching at the creek in the forest where you have snakes, you have bar animals, you have all kinds of things. And I was frightened. I was afraid. And the Lord sent his angels too. And I saw them standing right before me like this, just looking at me. They were very bright, had on a white garment, very bright. And I saw them. And the second one, the Lord revealed to me in the broad day vision while I was drawing water from the well. And the voice of the God spoke to me in an audible way. And then that same very day, I fell into that well, and the presence of God came and overshadowed me. The devil saw, he knew the star. He knew, he saw something great with inside of me. And he wanted to terminate my life from a child. Even up to now. But guess what? God said it is not time. And God is telling you today, it is not your time. And because it is not your time, get up. Guard yourself. If you have to relocate, do that. But fear not, because God is with us. The Lord is with us. Yes. He's with us. And as you're serving the Lord, serve Him from your heart. Serve Him with a pure heart. Serve Him in sincerity. Serve God with your whole heart. Serve Him. By that time, I was just worshiping God when I was a little girl. I would worship God when I'm washing, when I'm cooking, when I'm washing dishes, when I'm walking. Praise and worship was a lifestyle for me. But now it is still a lifestyle. And by the grace of God, I've advanced. So the Lord sent me here this morning at 3 a.m. this morning to encourage you with these words. Don't be afraid.